Thank you very much.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they will.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
This is the spot, and I love saying, welcome, stadium announcer, Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Did I ever tell you about the time I took 11 eggs out of Phil?
No, you didn't.
For another time.
They were brown eggs, weren't they?
Yes, when I was done with them.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Edward Anger and all the ships at sea. Hey, they're slap nuts funny. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast, nationwide, still via... Network, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, Don and Mike Show.
Here we are.
Coming to you from our flagship radio station, JFK FM, Washington, D.C. Heard every day on Westwood One with over 6 million listeners every day. We know that through the Arbitron ratings, and we thank you very much for listening.
We love them all.
I think you'll find that today there will be less Edward Anger than yesterday since we've had another day to acclimate and get our sleep patterns back together.
Yes, I feel a little more normal today.
Mm-hmm, right. No bad meetings or anything. Before the show today, no Hollywood people taking a crap on us.
Everything seems to be back to normal.
Everything is fine. No thanks, however, to Big Al the Radio Pal. Also to Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel, or Donald Monkey Boy. From here he is to my left and to your right. Well, he's the double punster.
Yes.
He is. Here is Shecky Elston. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Hello, everybody. It's the show, and it's Tuesday, Mark 14.
Is it really?
Yep. Telephone number, same as it was yesterday, 1-877-365-3636. Well, where do I begin?
To tell the story.
I could certainly bore Mike with the stuff I was just telling him in the office about my wife. I think I'll
didn't bore me. That didn't bore me.
I think I'll wait till later to tell you how things are going, my wife and I.
I want to hear that. I empathized with your situation. I totally did.
I mean, things are going fine. It's just...
Good.
You know,
I understand.
Sometimes
tense.
There's too much. I mean, there's too much information that is given out in just a very small amount of time.
Yeah, and I think that's what life is all about. It's all about timing. It's all about, you know, that's when people get a little overwhelmed, when things come one right after another, and just
frankly,
a little overkill.
You know, I can take all the stuff that I told you about in the office that I will get into later, which is just the humdrum every day.
Sure.
You know, being married for 18 years, that stuff. But then when you top that off,
mm-hmm.
with a life insurance guy coming over,
right,
to sign papers, and I have to sit... While my wife and this guy are discussing how much money she's going to receive when I die,
ooh. Right,
and when they're making it sound like, for all they know, it could be tomorrow.
Sure.
You know, it takes the edge off a little bit.
I understand, and you know, what you were telling me in the office was simply a series of circumstances that happened to all come at the same time, and I understood completely why you were a little... put off.
All of the events today, but I won't waste your time with that right now. I'll wait until later to waste your time with that.
Very good.
Because I have a present that I want to open up.
Okay.
On the radio that came from the good people at Portland Volvo.
Portland, Maine or Portland, Oregon?
Maine. Portland,
God,
Maine.
God love them. Man, love the Mainites.
Great. Portland, Maine.
The name of Peggage.
From Scarborough, Maine. It says, Dear Don and Mike, I heard Don talk about fixing his Volvo and thought he might like a few Volvo toys.
Oh, cool.
I wasn't quite sure what to send except another headlight. Now, look what this guy sent me. Robbie, bring the box over. Take a look at this.
That is a big Volvo box that you have.
Huge. Take a look at this.
You can get a Volvo.
It says
Volvo
on the outside of it.
Now, look at this. This is a gigantic sign that lights up.
Oh, that's cool.
That I'm going to put in my garage. That says Volvo Service Department. Now, is that fantastic?
That is somebody great. Who's thinking it's got little credit card signs on the one side of
that
it.
That is great. And you know what's so great is that tomorrow I'm going to attempt to put the brake pads on the car tomorrow morning.
That's exciting. And so you'll be able to have your service department light on top of it.
Look at that. It's got the little things on top so you can hang this baby up. This came out of a real car dealership.
Yeah, it did. There's the service department in your garage.
Is that fantastic?
That's pretty cool. Who's the guy that sent it to you?
Hold on. Let me get the letter. Wait a minute.
It's got the logo.
John Knight.
Way to go, Johnny.
Oh, wait. He sent me more crap, too.
Love me. Love those people up there.
Sent me a headlight.
Well, you have a headlight.
No, he sent me an extra one for the next time it busts.
There you go.
Great.
And he sent me, what are these? Gloves. Oh, I guess they're gloves to work on the car with.
Let me see. Are they driving gloves or working gloves?
No, they're working gloves. Look at, they're like, they're plastic gloves, like to work on the car with.
I guess that's what the guys use. Rob, is the light working?
No, it doesn't seem to work.
What light?
Rob was plugging your light in to see if it worked.
Sign. Oh! It did not light up.
Oh, it did not light up?
No, maybe that's why he parted with it.
Oh.
I think you should put that bulb in there. Does it have a bulb, bro?
No, well, this is the bulb for my car. the H7.
Doesn't have a switch on it or anything?
I bet it has a switch on it. I bet it just doesn't instantly go on when you plug it in. Oh, what did you do?
I think I figured it out.
What?
Listen to this. I think there is a bulb in it.
Yeah.
In pieces.
That's all right. It. Well, you know what? It's still what it won't light up. Big
well, you
deal.
Know what? We've got fluorescent lights here. Undo the back of it and put a real bulb in it.
Sure. No, don't worry about it.
It's got like 60 screws.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll just take it home. Just hang
give
it up
it to
on
Wendell.
The wall.
He can take care of that in 2 minutes or
that's
less.
Right.
It's true. You know, that's not a bad idea. Why don't you give that to Wendell and
Wendell
ask him to fix
jobs.
That?
Wendell loves jobs. He loves projects like that.
Ask him to fix that for me. I want to thank the good people at Portland Volvo. That is a wonderful sign that I will hang in my garage.
That's terrific. And you know how I feel about people up in Maine. I think that's good folks. They got their thinking caps on them.
I recognize a big giant box that says Volvo on it.
Yo, Virgil.
Now that is funny.
I had that disc jockey. He's talking about his car. He likes to work on it. Why don't you give him that old sign we don't need in the garage anymore? Send
that's
it up to
good.
Him.
I cannot wait to get home and do that.
See that. Yeah, that one that we have in the back room is just service department. Just put that on the, give that to the UPS man. Send it right down to him.
Oh, no, I did forget to tell you about it in the office. Something else that happened to me at home today.
Yes.
Now, we also had the wonderful experience of Jehovah's Witnesses coming to our house today. And real upscale Jehovah's Witnesses, they're driving a Lexus. Now,
really?
Shouldn't Jehovah's Witnesses be like taking those, like a rickshaw around or something? Or shouldn't they be on horseback or something?
Absolutely not. I was on a farm full of Jehovah's Witnesses, and we went to a picnic for a lady that used to babysit for my kids, and she was a Jehovah's Witness. And we went out there, and we were on the farm of this huge, huge farm. I mean, this guy had everything. He had dump trucks. He had acres and acres of land. He had this huge house, and he was extremely wealthy, and he was a Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, I'm sure it was one of my wife's friends. I saw this nice Lexus pulling up.
I had no
brand
idea.
New Lexus.
Be surprised. There are many. They live among us.
Wow. Yeah.
Hey, hi, honey.
Well, hi. We're just talking to Mom.
To your mom?
Yeah.
Oh, what a nice happenstance that is.
Oh, what a surprise.
I was just talking about those freaking Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, they were very pleasant people. Now, you don't have to be hostile.
No, I wasn't hostile because I didn't talk to them.
I know, and I tried to spare them, because they left off their literature, which actually I would read because I'm curious about all different types of religions, and
Not me. Stay away.
I know.
Anybody
but
that's
then,
gotta come...
said, then they started to say, and they said, we'll come back and discuss it with you. And I'm thinking to myself, you're lucky you met me at the door.
Anybody that wants to come to my house to try to sell me on religion, forget about that.
No, if you don't want to worry about celebrating Christmas, though, it's a good religion to be a part. They don't celebrate the holidays
or birthdays.
It would be easy for those.
Oh, I could never do that then.
No birthdays, no Christmas.
Love Christmas, I love birthdays.
No presents.
But, Mike, it would be handy for you because, you wouldn't have to make those homemade cards and all that kind of stuff. You wouldn't be caught by surprise.
Yeah, I know. And are you I never got you your card, did I?
No, I think you were like 3 years in arrears.
I gave Rob a beautiful mobile on his birthday.
A mobile with Mike's publicity photo.
Is
it was all chopped up.
It was lovely. Rob collects them,
What a pain in the ass, though, these people. They come pulling up to the door. I was positive with some of my wife's, society friends. Mm-hmm. And I said, honey, it's for you. It's
because
a Lexus.
They were driving a big, expensive car, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm probably the only person here. I've had a house full of them. I've entertained a whole table full of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Christ.
It was okay.
We had a great time.
Good. I was able to make a Jehovah's Witness joke. And it was, we had a woman work for us for a long time, and there was never any, she ever stood. I put the ground rules down right away that, your religion is your religion. I respect it.
I find them to be very intrusive. I don't like them coming to the door and
they're
trying to peddle their voodoo.
I forgot what they call it. There's a name for it, too, when they're doing that. It's not voodoo. It's not witnessing.
No, I had it right. It's
where they
voodoo.
Where they go door to door. They're all obligated to do a certain
peddling.
Hours of peddling.
They're peddlers. That's what they are.
You're supposed to do a number of hours.
Isn't it recruiting for Satan?
No, Rob. That is incorrect.
Hey, did anybody watch that movie last night? The movie with Kate Jackson?
Oh, Aaron Spelling's movie.
About what was it? It was Girls of Satan or something like that?
No, I didn't see that.
It was Satan School for Girls.
That was it.
Aaron Spelling's remake of the 1974 Aaron Spelling movie.
It was on Channel 7 last night. It wasn't bad.
Was it all about Jehovah's Witnesses? Is that what it was about?
I just turned it on for a second and saw Kate Jackson. And there was no one talking like in the scary... Exorcist voice. I turned it right off.
And she was in the original. She was one of the girls in the original.
Right.
So, honey,
How did you enjoy that meeting today with the insurance guy? You love talking about my impending death, don't you?
You know what? I thought I would make you feel better because he was telling me the one way in which we could get richer and richer as you hung on to your life. And then, you know, we'd really hit the jackpot when you ended up kicking the bucket. And I said, you know, we don't have to have that figure going up and up and up because...
It sounded very discerning to sit there and listen to Frida and this guy, this insurance guy, Ron. The two of them are making happy, snappy conversation back and forth about... Now, if he was to die now, you would get this much. But if he manages to hang on somehow for 10 more years, you'll get this month.
It's amazing. It freaks me out.
You know, and once, if he get... If, and everything was had before, if... If he gets to this old, you'll get this much.
Wow.
And I'm just sitting there.
I hope you're proud of me, because I said, look, I don't want to get rich off his death, you know.
No, and you did say that, but you did want to make sure that the house would be paid off.
I just wanted to be able to keep my same lifestyle.
When I die, you can understand why I would find that just
absolutely
tad insulting.
You just want to keep your same lifestyle, but you certainly don't want to be wealthy.
Right, I don't want it to really hurt.
Touché!
Touché! My routine too much.
Sure, I understand.
I imagine that week I will be inconvenienced.
And this morning, oh Christ, did we go through it this morning? About, you know, we have not even gone up to New York yet to do the show.
Plans.
We have not even gone to New York yet to do the show from WNEW. We'll start doing that in a couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
Well, last night when we're going to bed, she's got a book, Where to Live in New York. And she's looking through this book, and she says to me, you know what might be good if we just sublet an apartment in New York?
I just finished emailing somebody on that, you know.
And I said last night, because I just wanted it to go away, I said, you know what, we can discuss this another time. Well, little did I know that another time was going to be 8 hours later.
Sure.
This morning when I came down for breakfast, when the first thing, again, you know, and why you like doing this, before I've had a chance to wake up or have any coffee, I don't know. It was like I come downstairs, and she is bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and she goes, hey, we're going to sublet an apartment in New York, and... I said, I'm going up there 2 days a week. You and Bart are gonna like come up on the occasional week. I don't want an apartment in New York, and we went through a whole big drawn out scene this morning about this.
But you know, I was thinking, Boo, to your credit and my credit, that we had a heated discussion and we ended it by reaching a compromise and hugging, and I thought, what a good lesson for our son on how to resolve a conflict and come to a common ground.
Yeah, and I'd like to just point out that the compromise we reached was that I said, you know what, I've not even gone up there yet to start this new job.
Right.
How about letting me get up there and let me start the job.
Sure.
Before you halfway move us to New York.
And I will just research it and get everything squared away. Well, which is the way it works in our family, because I'm the one who looks into researching and
you sublet an apartment. How does that pay for itself if you're going to be up there 2 days a week?
Well, because to begin with, you know, it's a lot less expensive than if you had a hotel room every night. And you don't have to cook as much because it has a kitchen and everything. And you just sublet it for a month, and it's kind of...
I'm hearing this morning, and I'm thinking, I have not even been up there. Mm-hmm. I know the station's in Midtown Manhattan, but beyond that, I don't even know where the station is.
Oh, I know where it is. And
I know. What did I tell you, Mike? She got a goddamn map in New York.
Man, I'd love to know where it is. Where is it?
I've got the map on my Palm Pilot, so I won't get lost.
It sounds to me like what I'm hearing here is that your wife's going to be moving full-time
to New York.
No, I'm just doing a little, I think it's exciting, maybe for a month or something, a vacation.
Oh, honey, see, that for me it's a job, for you it's a vacation.
Well, like I was talking with Ross Stevens today, and we were talking about you and Ken, you guys have to work, but other than that...
That's dangerous.
You know,
that's dangerous when Ross calls.
Own. I mean, somebody has to earn the living, and we understand that, and we respect you for it. But don't get in our way. You know, I mean, I'd like to go to New York for a few weeks. I think it would be exciting.
I understand. Just, you know, I mean, you know, and you'd also like to go to Spain this summer.
Well,
and you'd like me to also pay for your mother to go to Spain.
Let me see if I get this right, Freddie. You're going to be living in New York?
Well, not full time. Not full time, but I will go up there.
You know what will probably end up happening? She will probably end up getting a goddamn apartment in New York, and I will be end up staying in whatever the crappy CBS Trade Hotel is.
You can come and stay with me if I don't have, like, friends up there, because, you know, most of my girlfriends live
It was just too much today.
And I also, I you, honey, I didn't even go into the other idea that that I could we could share an apartment with the O'Meara.
Jesus Christ.
Right. And honey, then we could use it alternately.
Honey, slow down.
Okay, well, these
slow
are
down. You know what? We've not even been up there to do one show from New York.
She's very excited.
I know she is. She's excited that I'm soon going to die and she's going to get rich.
Yeah.
She's excited that apparently I'm paying for her to go to Spain this summer with her mother.
Oh, yeah.
She's excited that we're going to be subletting an apartment in New York when I haven't even been to New York yet.
Well, you know, the good thing about that is the New York real estate prices. They're very reasonable.
Oh, and then that's the other thing she was telling me. She was looking at prices. And I said, do you realize what kind of crack house we're going to be living in for the money you're talking about?
No, Yogi Bear, I mean, if you're talking about the price of a hotel, you think that they're reasonable in New York?
No, but I think it would be more reasonable if we're going to New York for 2 days a week.
Yeah,
I think it would be more reasonable to stay in a hotel than to rent an apartment.
You will be there 2 days a week, but I was thinking maybe taking a longer weekend there or being there. You know, I was.
Imagine how great it must be to be you. How great it must be to be you.
It is good.
Life is an adventure for you. Jesus.
I enjoy my life.
You're going to get an apartment in New York.
But I told you in my last life.
Going to go to Spain. I'm going to buy some more insurance and pray to God that I die so that you'll be even richer.
In my last life, I had a very hard time, and I think it's just my karma come around this
okay.
life.
But I don't want to upset you here, but I'm going to say this to your wife, because I think if she was to do this, it would be, I know how Frida operates, and Frida would probably gather quite a bit of information about, you know, what to do, how to live, you know, where to go, the transportation situation. She would probably be a very good person to sorry about that.
Come on, no, do not.
I just, it would be a nice.
No.
Sorry.
No.
I've got all kinds of information already, Mike, and I'd be happy to share it with you and your wife. I mean, I've got all kinds
Christ.
Of. Christ. Now, my
welcome
husband
to my nightmare. Honey, for the last time, I have not even been inside the radio station yet.
That's fine.
How about, let me get up there.
You've made Rob nervous. He just dropped an entire tray of cards.
Let me get up there. Let me start doing the job up there.
Okay.
Before you move us to New York.
I just keep all my little thoughts to myself.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I was bubbling over with them last night. I usually don't try not to throw all this at you. I know that you don't react well to it, but this has been stewing for since you.
I know, but do you understand my position, right? Like we discussed this morning,
right.
You're putting a cart ahead of the horse. That you got to let me get up there and start the job first.
I'm throwing too much at you, and you've got a lot on your plate, and you've got a lot of other stuff to concentrate on. So you just let me handle this and handle your thing, and we'll.
And do me a favor, Frida, if you can, don't be speaking to my wife for about another 2 months or so.
I'll get it all figured out before I start.
She's like a big Girl Scout troop leader.
She is.
Yeah.
Get everybody organized.
We'll be in the same building. We'll be in the same building.
You know,
we get a special block deal on apartments.
The last time I checked, the hotel was fine with me.
Well, the hotel's fine, yeah.
But really, you won't like a hotel.
Well, the company's going to pay for the hotel.
Yeah, but see, my idea this morning, which we won't even get.
Oh, no, okay, no, this is what put me over the edge. Hold on, let me announce
it.
This is what she says. She says, I want you today. Now, she's telling me what to do. She says, I want you to call Ken, and I want you to ask Ken if he will subsidize us renting an apartment in New York.
Here was my idea.
And I said, right. I said, honey, the hotel that the company will put us up in New York, it's called a trade. The hotel runs commercials, and the station doesn't have to pay for the room. I'll be damned if I'm going to call Ken up and say, hey, Ken, listen, my wife would really love to spend a couple of days in New York. How about you go halvesies on the rent on an apartment? He will tell me to go F myself.
No, you see, you didn't even let me. That's why I was up. I shouldn't have sprung it all.
She said she wanted to call Ken, and then I said,
right.
Don't call Ken. I didn't want my wife calling the general manager. She said, okay, I'll call Jeremy. I said, I don't want my wife.
Not that I'm getting nervous or anything, but we're going up there 2 days a week.
Yes, right.
Just double checking.
Yeah, we don't want to move. I don't want to move.
2 days a week, Mike.
No. I just want to take a summer vacation.
You'd like to spend the summer in New York.
You are taking a summer vacation. I am paying for you and your mother to go to Spain.
Okay, well, that's just 1 week. There's like 9 weeks during the summer.
It is just crystallized. I understand exactly. What she's doing, she's planning her summer itinerary.
That's right.
You know, that's fine. Have a wonderful summer. Just don't call my boss.
Don't call my program director. And let me please just get started there before you start this stuff.
All right.
Please.
I'll just keep it to my... I've got the wheels in motion, but don't you worry about a thing.
That's where it boiled over today, where she said, well, I want you to ask Ken if he would subsidize it.
All right,
and I said...
See, but, okay, I will drop this, but you're misquoting me. I thought if he was going to have to pay for a hotel...
Didn't I tell you today it's a trade?
Yes, but you didn't let me finish that there are these companies that do trade similar, and I didn't mean to have the whole thing paid for. I just meant if it's a trade for, say, X amount of dollars, whatever two nights in a hotel would be, to apply it to something else.
That's what I want. That's why I want my wife calling the general manager with that question.
I did double-check one thing. The hotel that we have up there for our digs, you know, where Ken stays and where Jeremy stays and where we will be staying, is very, very luxurious. I understand it doesn't even have an alarm clock.
I told her already that it's an S-hole, and I said that when she and Bart want to come up to New York, I would just pay to have a stay at a better hotel when they're there, mm-hmm. and then otherwise I would stay, you know, in the crack house that the radio station's putting
right.
up. You know, that's fine with me.
All right.
Honey, let's just take it one step at a time.
All right, my boo-boo. Okay. I'll just work the women's network.
All right, then. Whatever that means. Just don't...
That means I chatted with Mrs. Ken, and I can chat with Mrs. O'Mara,
oh,
and I can...
Oh, God. Whatever.
No.
Okay.
Whatever. All right. I love you.
All right. Goodbye.
Hey, how about some love?
No, I do love you.
Thank you.
I love you very much.
I love you, too.
All right.
Just calm down.
I'm sorry.
Calm down. Take a deep breath. Do some of that feng shui. Calm down.
I'm sorry.
Get in a lotus position.
Big bear. Okay.
Okay?
Everything's fine.
Too much coming at me today.
I know. You don't handle change well anyway.
Too much. We got to get an apartment in New York. You got to die soon so I get all this money.
No.
Yeah, I got to go to Spain. Yeah, my mother's got to go to Spain. You got to get a deal on my sister getting her eyes done with a laser surgery.
Sure.
I'm handling everything. Don't you worry about it.
It's just a lot of stuff in one day.
All right, boo-boo.
All right, goodbye.
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 that's really
that's kind of what you were dealing with this morning.
That's exactly what I told you up in the office.
That's interesting.
And all of these things happened one right after the other today.
Oh boy.
At first it was this argument.
She's a dynamo, that woman of yours.
Not really an argument, this heated discussion about getting an apartment in New York and calling Ken.
Right.
Then it was, oh listen, my sister and niece need to have their eyes done, need to have this laser surgery.
They want that done in New York?
No. They want it done here, but they want a discount.
Okay.
So can you handle that? Can you get them a discount? Then it was, oh yes, and my mother and I would like to go to Spain. And then it was, now the guy's coming over, and he's going to talk about when you die, about how rich we're going to get when you die. And then the freaking Jehovah's Witnesses came over. And it was just,
God.
You know what I mean? Just,
I do know what you
just,
mean.
Just too much.
A lot of times I don't know what you mean, but I think I do know what you
just,
mean.
It's way too much.
Could have been a scene from Scanners.
Just stop it. Yeah, my head's about to explode. I'm actually now, at this point, I'm looking forward to going to Wichita.
Oh, my.
Okay. Let that tell you how desperate I am. I'm looking forward to spending two nights in the metropolis of Wichita, Kansas.
It's a happening town. Buzz will tell you that. He was raised there.
That's
you
right.
know, it's happening. Wichita
yeah.
is happening. We're coming to Wichita, and I'll tell you, I could not be happier.
Right. Friday night. Hello, Ronnie.
Yes, sir.
Ronnie, pick up, please.
I'm there.
Pick up. I hate speakerphones. Where are you calling from, a bathroom?
I'm not on a speakerphone. I'm on a regular phone.
Can you go to a different room? There's too much echo.
Oh, you're in the tub. That's gross.
Hey,
gross.
Listening to you guys.
Oh, God.
Hey, you gotta check out the Wichita Eagle online today.
Are you in Wichita?
Yeah, well, I'm about 25 miles.
Oh, geez. You're having a big soak.
Yep.
Listening to the show.
If you're like listening to Frida on the radio.
While you're soaping yourself up. I got you.
Oh, God.
Now, 25 years ago, it was wine, women, and song. Now it's beer, TV, and the old lady, so I know where you're coming from.
Okay, so you're soaking, you know, in the middle of the day on a Tuesday. What business do you own, sir?
Well, I don't own business. I'm a disabled person.
Sorry I asked.
Probably in the service of our country.
Yeah. No, I was a cop and got injured on the job.
Did you get shot?
No, I got run over by a car.
Oh, man.
Sorry to laugh.
About as bad, I think.
Sorry to laugh. I mean, was it in the line of duty?
Yes, it was. I was on a police motorcycle.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Wow, how'd you get run over?
Well, I was... escorting a parade, no less, and some old lady pulled out and ran over me right in front of 8,000 people.
So it would really make a good action adventure series.
Oh yeah.
Run over by old ladies.
All right, well, Ronnie, the disabled cop taking a soak. What can we do for you?
I'm telling you about my buddies. You're on the Wichita Eagle online today, front page about you coming to town, and the police are going to be at your show.
What is the Wichita Eagle? Is that the real newspaper?
The main newspaper there, yes.
Newspaper Wichita.
And the police are going to be at the show. Is that the gist of the article?
They're going to arrest you if you get out of line with your show.
What is it? Why don't you share with us the details of that article?
Oh, no, Mike, hold on, because you know what? It's time for another exciting edition of
Yes,
Buzz Surfs the Web.
I have the story here and now.
Oh, before we could even get the
Buzz
music right.
Come on now, Buzz.
Here's the funny part. I know most of those officers over there, and they listen to you.
Well, you're taking all the fun out of it, Buzz, when you go right on that. Okay, Buzz.
Sorry.
Is it on the front page? What does it say?
It is. Here's the article. I'll just start reading, and you stop me when you get tired of it.
Okay.
Wichita police are expected to be among those in the audience Friday when the irreverent hosts of the Don and Mike radio program bring their live stage show to town. Police spokesman Bob Circle said the police department had received 10 calls from residents concerned about possible violations of the city's anti-nudity ordinance during the upcoming Don and Mike's Las Vegas style show at the Cotillion.
That's good, because that means if you want to rob a bank in Wichita,
right.
I urge all the criminals listening to do it on Friday night, because all of the cops in town will be coming to our show just in case a girl takes her shirt off.
Unbelievable. And on the west side in particular, because quoting Circle, we do intend on monitoring it with members of our Patrol West Bureau. So if you're going to commit a crime, the Patrol West area would be the area to do that in.
Jesus Christ.
I think it failed to mention that all 10 of those that complained are descendants of Cary Nation, who used to be very popular in Wichita.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
What else does it say, Buzz?
Thank you for that.
Is that it?
Let's see. Police say any violation of the ordinance could jeopardize the liquor license of Cotillion owner Richard Leslie. Leslie said KFH officials have assured him the host of the radio program won't go too far.
Yeah, how come it's the host? Mike and I never drop our pants
right.
when we go on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Requested as we might. Geronimo and Omero declined to comment except in an on-air interview. The Eagle declined an on-air interview, it says.
Well, F the Eagle, and F those cops who've got such little time on their hands.
The nudity.
Send them out in the riot gear, boys.
That's all those reporters.
Get your rubber bullets ready. The Don and Mike show's coming to town.
That's all they wanted to do. That's all they wanted to do is talk about the nudity aspect of it. And, we have done that show in a variety of venues with a variety of ordinances, and we've adhered to every one of them.
And furthermore, we have stated on this show, if anybody from the goddamn Wichita Eagle would bother to listen, we've stated that the show will have no nudity.
That's right.
That it will feature people in their underwear.
And I suppose that, with the cops being out there, come to the show. If you take your clothes off, we're going to tell you, first of all, you're not supposed to do that. And if you do take your clothes off, you're just going to have to, deal with what the ordinances are. We've done that a million times.
But if you want to hold up a liquor store or something, Friday night is the night to do it.
The patrol has
I'm
around.
Telling you that most of the cops in Wichita are going to be at our show.
Oh,
and they'll be enjoying it, too, I'm sure.
Jesus Christ. That's something.
Hello, who's this? Rex.
Yeah, this is Rex.
Hi, Rex.
How you doing, Don, Mike?
Wait a minute, I gotta tell you.
Hold on,
Buzz has more.
One note at the bottom of the story. It was written by the reporter for the Eagle who writes about crime and safety for the paper. The crime reporter is covering your show.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Jesus.
I'll tell you this. I want to say to the people at KFH, we're coming a long way to do this show, and we need a support network in place here, so they better get their act together, too.
The people from KFH better be having a goddamn press conference saying, we do shows that don't feature total nudity.
I have a quote from the general manager of KFH here.
What does he say?
Says, I don't even know if any of it really happens in their show or it's something they just talk about. This is a show that likes to portray itself in a certain way.
Yeah, right. We lie about it.
Right, you douchebag.
I hate these guys here. I mean, I really do. I'm sorry. We had a conversation with what's-his-name, and then now this guy's saying this to the paper. Yeah, right. We make it up when we say that people get naked in our shows. Where the local ordinance allows it. That's right. We make it up. And all the people who call us, they're all making it up, too. Because that's what we're all about.
Right.
Oh, Christ, I tell you, I got half a mind just to cancel the show.
What is wrong? Buzz, you live there.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is going on here? I mean, I don't like it already. It smells like fish.
All it takes in Wichita for something to get killed is for 10 people to complain about it, and that's basically what's happened here. You know how big your audience is in Wichita, and the affiliate, at least up to this point,
it sounds like the affiliate's pussying out on this, and they're not making it.
Yeah, let me hear that general manager's quote again.
The quote again is, I don't even know if any of it really happens in their show or it's something they just talk about. This is a show that likes to portray itself in a certain way, end quote.
Thanks for the support.
Yeah, this is a guy, I already know what that quote says. This is the guy that's like, I don't know anything about it.
Not my show.
These are only the guys that, correct me if I'm wrong, went out of their way to ask us to come to Wichita and do a show and do a Las Vegas-style show.
Right. Yeah, they contacted us about this. Trust me.
I'd like to know what they're really thinking there. I really would.
No offense to anybody that lives in Wichita, but it's not like Mike and I had this day circled saying, oh, yeah, we got to go to Wichita for St. Patrick's Day.
I mean, this is the radio station that is bringing us out there, and the radio station better be aware of the fact that they are part of this as well as this show.
Hello, Becky.
Yes.
Hi, Becky.
Hi. I'm just calling to tell you guys that I'm really glad that you're coming, but I don't want this to discourage you guys, even though Wichita sucks really bad. And I think the reason is because there's nothing to do here. There's nothing going on. So when something does come, they just got to make a big deal about everything. Mm-hmm. So don't worry about it.
Listen, we understand. We've been through similar situations. I mean, we did a show in Baltimore one time, and I am not exaggerating for that douchebag general manager at KFH. They had cops in riot gear because the locals had complained about the show we'd be bringing, and it was the exact same situation, and there was no problem. We never have any problem with any of the cops that come out to our show. They're always decent guys, and my problem with this is really not even the cops, that if people call and complain about it, the cops have to respond. I just wish that the people from KFH,
yeah, it's their job,
would have made a statement to say, listen, you know, there's going to be no nudity at the show, case closed.
Right.
You know, that's all the people from KFH had to say, instead of this veiled, well, with these guys.
Whatever they do, we're not in control of it. They're, you know, that's crap. I mean, we work with the radio station, and we work with the people, especially when we're traveling this distance. And, you know, they better know what's going on there, because, I mean, we're not going to go into a situation high and dry without having any knowledge of what the ordinance is. You know, it's not going to be on our ass on this.
Yeah, no kidding. We've heard, no nudity.
Right.
That's what we're planning on doing. Coming to Wichita and doing a show that will feature people in their underwear.
Right.
You know, if there's a problem with that, someone should let us know now.
I'd love to know.
Hello, Bob.
Bob. Down at Mike's.
Yes, Bob. That's why I said Bob.
I'm sorry.
Yes, it's amazing that Don said Bob and then you immediately said Bob.
Bob.
I was wondering if you got to see him when you went out there.
See who?
These nuts. These nuts. These nuts.
Come on, we're trying to get work.
He wants to be a regular, and he's just not going to succeed.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, this is Mike from Wichita. How you doing?
Yes, hello, Mike.
Hey, I once got arrested from that Bob Circle. He's a jerk.
All right, thank you, sir. Who is Bob Circle?
He's the cop that I quoted earlier.
Oh, all right.
The man was making a little joke there.
I got you. Listen, you know what we're going to need? We're going to need the management from KFH to come on this radio show.
Yeah, we want to find out what's going on.
Today, to tell them exactly what we do at this show and to get some support from radio station KFH.
Yeah, I mean, if that's to all be written down and handed to the proper person there that's got the bug up his butt, then so be it.
All right, hey, Charlie, get me the general manager, please, from KFH Radio, the guy that was quoted in the newspaper.
Jesus Christ.
This thing just keeps growing here.
This is when I think we've put everything to bed on this.
Thank you, Buzz.
It's amazing.
KFH General Manager Jim Worthington says Don and Mike have agreed to play within the bounds of city laws. I don't even know if any of it really happens in their show, if it's something they just talk about. This is a show that likes to portray itself in a certain way. What does that mean?
I don't know.
What the hell does that mean?
It sounds to me like it's like they want all the...
You know, they
want all the steak, but they don't want any of the gristle.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they want to eat steak, but they don't want to know how he had to kill the animal to get the steak for them.
It doesn't work that way.
You know, they want to have a bad boy show on the radio station.
Say what you will about our station here in Washington, D.C., but one thing we do get is we get 100% support from the management here. We really do. We get the people, Ken Stevens and the powers that be, have always stood behind us. And if we're going into this Wichita area, it's got to be the same way.
Oh, there's more in this article. Don and Mike, hosts of the program based in Washington, D.C., airs in Wichita on KFH, are widely known for their sexually suggestive humor and racy antics. Their radio show includes bits such as strip trivia. Hey, right, hello?
Is there a little nudity thing?
It's the radio! Hello? It's radio!
God.
Idiots. idiots.
Is there a nudity thing in Wichita, too?
Well, as you know, the recent crackdown, no stripping, no nudity in Wichita.
You know, now that I'm looking at this article, Buzz is pretty, I don't know why this is a story, because the guy from the barn that we're going to be in, the owner, Richard Leslie, mm-hmm. he's quoted here. He says, KFH officials have assured him the host of the radio program won't go too far. Well, now, first off, you know, we don't have anything to do with taking our clothes off, but
right.
I'm guessing that the guy understands that we understand that there's supposed to be no nudity.
That's right. So, and it also should be understood, and I want this the most important thing, it should be understood, when we're up there, you know, the people that come on stage and participate in our reindeer games, it's their responsibility. And if we tell them, hey, you know, no nudity, that's their responsibility.
Right.
And that's the way it's been. I'll tell you, do you remember every venue we've ever gone into, that's the way it's been.
It's just starting to grow hair.
It's this whole thing is just
I want a few
hair.
Things made clear. I think we should get a few things made clear before we trundle out to the, you know, to the lovely open-minded Wichita, Kansas.
Would you give us to Jim Worthington on the air? You know, then this all gets back to the same point that we had a couple of weeks ago. Is if you have these laws in the city of Wichita,
mm-hmm.
why didn't the radio station put us in a place like outside the city limits where there wouldn't even be the question of, mm-hmm. of any material or the type of show that we do?
Right. It's very, very weird. It's an uneasy feeling.
I don't get it.
Yeah, the last contact we had with any member of the management at that radio station was that lovely conversation.
Tony Douching.
We had with Tony Douching the other day. And that, boy, I tell you, I felt supported after that.
I got a good education in Wichita. There are universities there. There are corporations headquartered there. I don't understand this.
Why are they so uptight about us now?
I don't know. I mean, it's always been conservative.
Here's Carlos.
Thanks, Lauren. Jim is on the snow line.
Ah, thank you very much. All right, here is the general manager of KFH Radio, Jim Worthington. Jim.
Don.
Don and Mike here.
Gotcha.
Hey, thanks for the support of the newspaper. Thank you.
Sure, anytime.
Thank you. Listen, do we understand each other, sir, about the show that we're planning on coming and doing on Friday?
Oh, I think so. I'm not directly involved, Don, but...
Well, you mean you're the general manager. You're not direct...
I'm general manager of 7 radio stations, Don, so... I was just responding to a question from the newspaper that basically saying...
Are you the general manager of KFH or not?
Sure am.
Then you are responsible.
Okay. What's your problem, Don?
What's your problem, Jim? Well, besides your tone, perhaps...
You know, we love you guys. What do you?
Oh, I feel that, Jim. Jim, I'll tell you right now, I'm feeling the love, man. I'm feeling the love.
No, this is Mike talking.
There's two of us here.
Okay.
Just like when we talked to Mr. Douche.
What can I tell you guys? What do you need me to tell you? No, I'm serious. Here's what I need. We're excited about you coming. We think it's going to be a great show.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen at this show?
I think you're going to have a lot of fun.
No. Be specific. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know, Don. I've never been to a Las Vegas-style show.
Huh. What do you think, though? I'm sure you've heard us discuss it on the radio.
I'm sure.
Tell me. You booked us to come to your town. What do you think is going to happen?
I think you guys are going to have a lot of fun. You're going to have some people doing the nude family feud and any number of other fun things. But I've never been to one of your shows. That's what people are so interested about. Nobody here has been to one of your shows.
Why couldn't you just have said to the newspaper that nothing bad's going to happen? Why do you have to say,
that's what I said, but it didn't come across that way. I guess I should have phrased it better.
Well, you know, I get the distinct impression, in all fairness, that listening, first with the quote in the newspaper, and listening to you, what you're trying to do is distance yourself from this show. And I tell you, where we go around the Washington area to do these shows, that's not the case. We're in this together.
We're partners in crime. If anything bad happens at the show, and I'm not saying that anything bad will happen, mm-hmm. but if anything bad happens, it will be something bad happening to KFH, which airs the Don and Mike show, not just to the Don and Mike show.
The station is responsible, and I'll be honest with you, Jim, if we need to, we've got our legal department here that'll draw something up to that effect before we even, come out to Wichita. You wouldn't have a problem with that.
We've had no problem getting on the air and saying we understand that there's this no nudity rule in Wichita. I know we're not going to have naked people on stage.
But I get the impression that there's something, that you're trying to put it on us, and that's, we're coming out from KFH. That's the station that's bringing us out there. They're the station that's putting this on. It's your responsibility, this entire thing.
Okay, well, you should take some responsibility.
Okay.
So you're taking responsibility?
You bet.
How long have you been in radio, sir?
20 years.
Really?
And there's love here. I just feel the love.
Guys, we've had you on for how long? I mean...
I know. Listen, there's a big difference between flipping a switch and running the show and having us come out there.
In all seriousness, how would you have had me phrase it?
I would have had you...
I want to learn from you,
sir. Here's what I would have had you say. When the guy from the newspaper calls, you say, there is no reason to have this conversation. They understand that there's no nudity. There will be no nudity. Why is there a problem?
You know, I think that's a better way to handle it. I wish I'd have thought of it. Then we could be having fun with this conversation. So, I mean, I think you're right. Would have been a better way to handle it. Absolutely.
Well, you know what? I do think that Mike did hit on something. I do think that just to make sure that we're going to have some of the legal beagles at CBS.
Yeah, just see, you
come
know,
up with some...
check on our liability for the show. Because, you know, there are a lot of other radio stations involved here.
Okay.
Just to make sure, you know, so we can all sign off on it.
Sure. I get the impression, and this, once again, I'm saying this with no offense. I just get the feeling from everything that's going on that you guys, you're dancing to your own drummer a little bit out there. And maybe, you know, the right questions haven't been asked, and maybe the right preparations haven't been done.
Well, I'm sorry to feel that way. We're very much interested in having you come. The local excitement is there. It's been a phenomenon, I will tell you. In fact, to the point where it's raised challenges for us, as you well know. And
you know what it's like. You know what it's like. It's like when you know, if we're coming out there and there's going to be some kind of protest, you probably hire some security people to be between us and the protesters. Or if there are people that are, you know, the cops are coming in and there are some concerned people that are worried about the show. You're the guys that are out there.
You've got to be the middleman.
You have to be our line of defense against that.
Sure, we've made arrangements for all those things.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah, we've got security. I don't think we're going
to... I didn't mean literally.
I think a lot of it... I think a lot of the...
Speaking figuratively.
Okay, not literally. Just talking about, you know, the grand picture.
Talking about when we hear an officer, you know, quoted in the newspaper like that, it's just, you know, I hope these people are being addressed.
Absolutely.
How so?
We've met with the police department.
Mm-hmm. And how'd that go?
And we assured them that everything was fine, there was not going to be any problem, and they were satisfied.
Okay, well then I just don't understand how come you didn't say that in the newspaper.
They didn't ask.
How come in the newspaper your quote is, I don't even know if any of it really happens in their show, or it's something they just talk about. This is a show that likes to portray itself in a certain way. That's kind of an ambiguous quote.
Well, John, I guess I was trying to be ambiguous, you know.
Succeeded.
What?
You succeeded.
Well, I was just trying to get the guy the information I thought he was asking for and move on down the road, so...
You're trying to get the information that who was asking for? The guy from the newspaper?
Yeah, he called up out of the blue and asked me a couple of questions, and those, you know, I said several other things, too, that aren't in there. You know how that goes. It's a selective process.
My guess is the paper has a hand in trying to stir this up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sure, and listen, I don't doubt that, Buzz. It's just, you know,
right.
The people from the radio station, this is now the second guy we've talked to who has the energy level of a brick,
mm-hmm.
you know, who had a chance here in the newspaper to just put a bowl of water on this fire.
Right
now, we would just would have said, listen, there's no controversy. There's going to be no nudity at the show. Why has everybody getting all worked up?
Well, I guess in my interpretation, Don, that's what I was saying to him. But you guys, you know, you see the version that gets printed. I'm not saying that I didn't say those things. I'm saying I said a bunch of other things, too, that you know, elaborated on that. I can only deal with...
I don't know. I'm just getting uptight about going out there. I'm just getting a little uptight. I mean, after all the stuff with the tickets and...
I don't think you have a reason to be. I think it's going to be fine.
Fine.
All right, good, fine. Thank you. Listen, we're going to have somebody call you. Somebody from the wonderful CBS home office.
Sure.
And, you know, well, I'm sure we'll be able to come to an agreement. Thank you, though.
You bet.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, if we get in a war, there's no way I want that guy backing us up. Absolutely no way.
You know, I think you've heard other radio stations when we've come out there, and you've heard stations that kind of get it. And I'll use the guys in Sacramento, at KHTK as an example. When it's upbeat, yeah, hey, we got it. You know, we're in control. We're in charge. We've had two conversations now with guys at KFH. I don't know what, I guess they're going through some stuff out there right now. Is that what I heard?
Buzz said that the station's being sold again. But even if that's the case, that's not an excuse.
No.
I don't know if it's just the fact that they've never had any attention before.
It's weird.
If this is how they are reacting to the fact that there's something about them in the newspaper, that you know, the police are calling, I don't know. It's I don't know. I don't know. You know? Just like the thing with my wife. It's right now, it's too much.
Too much.
Too much. Too much. We can't get an apartment in New York. You can go to Spain. I need to buy life insurance.
I think we should.
I don't know about going to Wichita.
Well, I think we should talk to the you know, the right people here.
Yeah, you know,
and,
what?
And
we'll
find
just
out.
Put a call in to the Jackal.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah, the Jackal.
We'll
is,
just call the Jackal and ask the Jackal's opinion on this.
We will get the guidance from the Jackal.
Yes, that's right. Because Jackal knows.
Jackal does know.
Jackal Ken Stevens knows.
Jackal may be a Jackal, but he does know the answers.
Yes,
to those
he does.
Things.
All right. Well,
whatever you have to do, Don.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
Don.
Right. Could he sound a little more swarmy?
They both did.
I mean, could he sound a little more like a toad?
I mean, yeah, I always feel like it's a cooperative thing, and it is tone. And you might say, hey, well, he was saying that he was saying perhaps some interesting things, but it was the tone that drove us nuts.
You know, the real deal is, well, I'm the general manager of 7 radio stations.
We got that, sure.
Yeah,
we understand he can't bother with us.
Got that. Well, you know what? We're on 60 radio stations, and we're going out of our way to bend over backwards to make sure that this goes okay for KFH in Wichita.
It just normally shouldn't be this much work.
How about a little something for the effort? Dally. Okay. We will have to figure this out during a commercial set.
Jeez.
Okay, now let's clear the lines.
Let's do it.
And welcome to the first hour of my daily therapy. Jesus Christ. Why should I go to a psychiatrist? Listen, 3 to 4 o'clock every day. This is where it happens. There's the touchstones. Okay, clear them out, Toya. Clear them out. Phone number is 1-877-365-3636. Caller 100, a prize package selected especially for you,
okay,
and
Don,
a shot to win $1,000 on Friday.
Whatever you say, Don.
We'll be right back.
This is Billy. Do you like the radio? Billy, do you listen to the Don and Mike show?
All right, let's get a caller 100 right now. Let's elevate our mood. Let's do. I just had an hour of talking to my wife, who's the general manager on the radio. Please, anybody else. Hello.
Yep. Oh,
got to clear the lines out. Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, is this... Am I caller 100?
Yes, yes. Yes, you are. Are you an upper management at KFA? You just have that sound about you.
Timid.
What's your name?
Tim.
Tim, where are you from?
Sacramento.
Tim, caller 100. Have you won the WCW Thunder Prize Pack? Don't miss WCW Thunder tonight. Goldberg and many other wrestlers.
All right,
would you just get done J-O-ing or something?
Yeah.
You seem out of breath. Are you incredibly nervous? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right.
You've also qualified for $1,000 that we're giving away on Friday's episode. A random winner this week gets $1,000 cash from OnMoney.com. Bring all of your accounts together with a single easy-to-use statement from OnMoney.com. See and manage your bank and investment accounts and your credit cards with OnMoney.com. Please listen on Friday's episode when we give away $1,000.
Okay.
I'm worried about that breathing.
do me a favor.
Yeah.
Go like this. Put your fingers on your nose like this. Okay?
Yeah.
Fingers on the nose. Now, close your mouth. Now, the fingers that are on your nose, take those fingers and put them over your mouth. Now, breathe through your nose. Don't breathe through your mouth.
He's breathing through his nose. I don't hear mouth breathing anymore.
Remember, you took the fingers from your nose and put the fingers on your mouth. Now, are you getting a good flow of air through your nostrils?
Yeah.
All right, this is how we civilize people who walk on 2 feet. This is how we breathe, through our noses.
What's going on in the background there? Are you at...
everybody at work's, like, now standing around, so, everyone's talking, and it's hard to hear.
Like they're all, like, around, like?
Yeah.
Tell them that we're teaching you how to breathe through your nose.
They're teaching me how to breathe through my nose.
Because you're a mouth breather.
Because I'm a mouth breather.
Where are you employed, sir, if you don't mind telling us?
At Educaid.
Educaid?
Yeah.
Is that sort of educational place?
Yeah, they do student loans.
Student loans. Would you please ask some of your coworkers if they've ever noticed that you have this habit of breathing through your mouth?
Have you guys ever noticed I have a problem of breathing through my mouth? Yeah.
Do you have to be a good student to work at Educaid?
No, not at all.
Obviously not.
Of course not.
Obviously not.
I just think of the guy that's getting his PhD that, you know, needs the loan and he's got to talk to this guy. It's kind of an interesting situation.
Would you please ask your coworkers if they think you have bad breath?
Do you guys think I have bad breath?
Yeah.
No hesitation. Right.
That's another reason you should learn to breathe through your nose, not through your mouth. See, that way you're not blowing that bad breath out. See, I just heard you doing it again. You're breathing through your mouth. Mm-hmm.
You'll actually be less stale if you bring some of that air in through your nose.
Let's try it. Put your hand over your mouth. Let me hear you talk. Go, so I know your hands over your mouth.
A lozenge always works, too, because you have to keep the mouth closed really well. Some people don't. What was that?
Pardon me?
That was one of my coworkers.
And what did he say?
He said you suck.
What's his name?
His name's Justin.
Well, why don't you ask Justin to be a big man and pick the telephone up?
Hey, Justin, they want to talk to you. Hold on, we're getting them.
Justin. All right.
Justin.
Is Justin coming to the phone?
He's hiding.
He is?
Hiding. Well, Tommy was a big man. He was a big man to scream into the telephone and keep running.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, tell Justin that we have...
Hold on, here he comes.
All right, good.
Hold on. Are you still breathing through your mouth?
Yes, he is.
Hold on.
Do you have a bad tooth?
Is Justin...
Hello?
Is Justin on the phone?
Yeah, this is him.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
Yeah, I mean, we're giving your buddy here a prize on our show, and you got to come by and shoot your mouth off. What's the problem, bud?
Hey, you guys don't usually like that to me when I listen on the radio.
Hey, dude, what's your problem, man?
Yeah, come on, what's the problem, Justin?
What?
What's the problem?
This is all made up. I just work here. I didn't say anything.
Well, he said that the guy that said, somebody came by and leaned in and said the show sucks.
I said this?
Somebody did.
I listen to you guys every day. I have my headphones on.
Oh, so it's not you?
No.
All right, we'll put the guy with the bad breath and the mouth breather back on the phone.
We'll find out who it is.
All right, there you go. Thanks.
Thank you, Justin.
I don't believe him, but let's find out.
Is this the guy with the bad breath?
Yeah.
Well, now, Justin says that he didn't walk by and say the show sucks.
Oh.
Is he lying?
Yeah. We're going to have to talk to him about that.
Oh, no, why don't you talk about it with him right now, right in front of us. Bring him over, and if you... this is the way that I found the best deal with conflict.
Mm-hmm.
One-on-one.
Right.
This is something I learned from the great Alan Lindwall.
Absolutely.
Mano y mano.
That's it.
That is the way to deal with problems.
Absolutely. Right.
Bring Justin back to your cubicle, look him in the eye, and tell him that you know he said that.
Come here, Justin.
I better be getting the best housewarming present, man.
Someone was talking about your housewarming present.
What do you want me to say?
Did he say that our show sucks?
Yeah.
Well, then confront him with that.
Yeah. Ask him why he said that.
Why did you say that?
That's why you're hearing.
Now, what did the lady say? I hear the lady. There's a lady there. Put her on the phone.
Hold on.
I'm looking on the radio.
Yes. Hello?
I'll talk to a lady.
Come on. Chrissy, you listen to her. Sure.
No.
Take the headphones off.
Hello?
What do you think the collective IQ is at this particular business establishment?
Do you think the IQ is higher than the temperature right now? What is it out in Sacramento, about 60 degrees?
No, it's about 85.
Well, then I would bet that the temperature is higher than the collective IQ in your office.
In this particular case, I think that's absolutely right. Now, who's the person that was saying something about a housewarming gift?
Oh, that was me.
That was you. Now, and then someone was saying something about the show.
Who said our show sucks?
That's Justin.
All right, well, then Justin lied to us.
So did Justin get on the phone with us and just lie through his teeth?
Well, you know...
Come on.
He has a chronic lying problem.
Ah, he's a pathological liar. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We need
to work on that with them.
So how can you work in the office with all these losers? You're surrounded by a guy
who
lies...
They are not losers. They are the best...
I can't even begin to tell you how pathetic that is.
You know what? This team rocks, man. They work their butts off, and I just have to say they are stellar.
You sound like you're the boss. Are you the
I
boss?
I am.
All right. We're not going to get a real verdict from you on these people.
Sure.
You know, I'm a Washington transplant.
Mm-hmm. Because eventually it's a reflection of you.
How'd you get fired when you were in Washington?
I didn't get fired. I got transferred.
Oh, transferred.
Oh, yeah.
Transferred, fired. There's such a small,
fired. Yeah,
such
that's
a
right.
small space between those two.
So, Justin, he's not trouble?
No, Justin's great. He does a great job.
And the guy that won our contest, have you noticed that he breathes through his mouth a lot?
You know, he really does have a breathing problem.
Yes, he does.
He's like a sexual offender or something.
See, she can say that because she's the boss.
Right.
But Justin, I guess Justin's got a pathological lying problem.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to get Justin on the phone to come clean.
Yeah, you're going to have to. Why don't you be the boss and get Justin to apologize to us,
please? Well, you know, in the first place, I had Justin come over and pick up the phone.
Okay.
Because he wouldn't do it.
All right, well, get
him
over here.
So now I need to have him come over and apologize?
Yes, because he did say the show sucks, and that's not very nice when we're doing...
Clearly, I think he should be groveling and on his knees for this.
Yes, I agree.
Well, honey, if that's your fantasy for Justin, that's fine. We just want an apology.
You're the boss. You can order him to come over to the phone.
Okay, do you want me to do this now?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Come here, Justin.
Come to mommy.
I like the boss. I do like the boss.
Yes.
All right, hold on for a second.
She's obviously very insecure, though, because she surrounded herself with morons so that she is the brightest bulb on the tree.
Yes, hello?
All right, Justin, you lied to us. That was not nice.
I still have no clue what you're talking about.
You're lying, Justin.
I listen on KHJ.
You're lying.
Today.
Justin, both your boss and the guy with the bad breath told us that you said it.
Justin,
we heard it, you see. We heard it, and then two of your coworkers said that it was you.
Back the tape up.
But we're going to play the tape for you now, Justin.
Are you getting Rob A to back it up?
Yes, because we want to compare voices here. Now, hold on a second, Justin. Stop your lying.
We can stop this now if you'll just apologize.
Sam, I said it. I was trying to be funny, but it wasn't funny.
Yeah, I'm trying to work here, and this guy comes over here. He's like, I want $1,000, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, just leave me alone. I want to work.
Now, that's a lie, too, Justin.
Huh?
Nobody won $1,000.
And nobody went over to you and said, I want $1,000. We heard the guy called us up. We took the call live on the air. He didn't say anything to anybody.
He put his hand over the phone. He's like, hey, everybody, Don and Mike or something like that.
Yes, but Justin, no one came over to you. Justin, you're digging a deeper hole.
Hold on, you little creep. I'm getting the tape right now.
We will go all day with this, Justin.
Hey, that's fine. I'm just at
that's
work.
Good.
I don't
that's
have to
fine.
Do anything anyway.
That's fine. That's good.
We're the apology, you rat.
We're better than you, Justin.
I understand that, and I enjoy that.
And they will always beat you.
We will always win.
Quitter. Robbie, you got that? See, I'm insecure like your boss also. I've surrounded myself with morons also. So I feel better about myself.
Hey, that's really nice.
Okay, Justin. I think having Justin on the phone now, we'll be able to at least do a nice voice comparison, too.
We certainly know high technology in there. You going to run that to
No, Justin, database? It's just a lot of people don't sound like a human mosquito like you, so it should be pretty easy.
Rob, any day now.
I don't know where it is.
You don't know where it is? Just replay it back past where I said the guy is qualified for $1,000. Just cue it up to there.
He couldn't even do this the other day. When you were talking to your friend.
Are you going
to
yell at Rob now? You have no place to yell at Rob.
You stop that, Justin. You're on trial here, and the accused does not have the right to throw accusations at other people. Do you understand that, Justin?
Hold on, you creep.
Hold on a sec. You're in our courtroom.
Okay, here we go. Hands over your mouth.
A lozenge always works, too, because you have to keep the mouth closed.
This is a replay.
Some people don't. What was that?
Pardon me?
Hold on, back it up. That was it right there, Rob.
Very nicely done.
You suck.
So I know your hands over your mouth.
A lozenge always works, too, because you have to keep the mouth closed really well. Some people don't. What was that?
That was Justin. Rewind it, because he says the show sucks. Listen. Let me hear you talk. Go, so I know your hands over your mouth.
A lozenge always works, too, because you have to keep the mouth closed really well. Some people don't. What was that?
Pardon me?
The show sucks, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Words from Justin.
Justin.
His voice.
Hey, Justin.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, Justin, that was you.
I couldn't hear. I'm listening right to the phone, and it didn't sound like me. That sounded like the same guy you took the call from.
Well, Justin, that's very easy. Is there anyone that would sound like that
in your office? Yeah, there's a couple guys here. I mean, because
Justin. Okay, you listen to the show.
I don't take my headphones off from 1 to 4.
You listen to the show. I appreciate the fact you listen to the show. You know, I might be inclined to give you a prize if you would just meet us halfway and just tell us you said it and just apologize.
What kind of prize are we looking at here?
You know, Justin, that's where you are going to have to count on our goodwill.
You have to take a leap of faith.
But I'll tell you something, Justin. We have a variety of quality prizes.
Considering how mad you are, I don't think I'll be getting a prize. So.
Well, yeah, I guarantee you, you'll get a prize.
See, everybody's listening on tape delay.
So listen, do we get our apology or not? We know it was you little creep.
And you listen every day. If you do, if that's the truth,
it is.
Then, you know, then, I mean, you should apologize. And you'll get a prize out of it.
Okay, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, I would like to take this opportunity to sincerely apologize for saying that. I had no way intention of, you know, being mean to you guys. You put on a fantastic radio show, and I in no way meant what I said earlier.
That was a phenomenal apology.
That was good.
I'm even going to applaud that apology.
Thank you, Justin. Honestly, it was sincere. You put on a good show, and I enjoy it.
Thank you, Justin. That was a wonderful apology, and he's earned his prize.
And that was where I get stiffed, right?
No. I'm going to send you one of my boogers.
Oh.
In a baggie.
A booger in a baggie.
Excellent.
A little bit of my DNA.
You know, okay. I'll tell you, when Don gives those away.
Can I get a bowel movement in the baggie?
And all I ask is that you don't pull an OJ, you don't go out and kill somebody and smear my booger on the body so that my DNA shows up.
And, you know, a lot of people, when we give boogers away on the air, those phones light up, Justin.
I can tell this line's about to cut out there and getting rid of it. I mean,
they're collector's items. And you know what? I'm going to wait until a day when I'm real phlegmy, and maybe I'll be able to get you a bloody booger.
Oh, that sounds great.
And we'll call it Justin's Day.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Justin, thank you for the apology.
No problem.
You're a good man, Justin. Now go back to your headphones.
Do I put the winner back on?
Yes, and then we'll need to get your information, too, because, Justin, I am a man of my word.
That's right.
I swear to God, I will send you one of my boogers in the mail.
A booger in a baggie.
That would be fabulous.
Now put the guy with the bad breath on, please.
Okay, no problem. Have a good day, fellas.
Thank you, Justin. You know, eventually there's always justice in the dot in my courtroom.
It was fine, Justice, and I will tell you, quite often those under duress apologies are not good. I believe Justin may have given us the best one ever.
I think so.
Hello? Have we got Slacker back on?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, what have you learned today? You're not going to breathe through your mouth, right?
Right.
Right. Good man. All right, beautiful. Tell me something. That boss of yours, is she hot?
Oh, yeah.
Who's the celebrity she most resembles?
I don't know. What do you guys think?
Oh,
hold on.
Can't you think on your own just once?
I can't think.
Of course you can.
Would you like to have sex with her?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact.
Thank you for calling Educate.
Have you ever thought about having sex with her?
No.
Can she hold on to a break? The lady from TV Land, she can't hold on to a break? All right. Hold on, please, mouth breather. Hold on. Thank you for listening.
Hold on.
Well, whatever.
All right, are always encouraged to call the Don and Mike Show at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. Call us and get intimate.
You know, there's a little dick in all of us.
Truly campy chap, Don and Mike.
All right, we are working behind the scenes now to make sure that everything goes according to plan on the trip to Wichita Friday with KFA.
Good.
You know, we don't mind having our nuts on the line when we go out and do a live show, to get back to this topic very briefly. It's just, we'd like everybody's nuts to be on the line, not just
absolutely
our nuts.
Yeah, and, you know, as Charlie was telling me out in the hallway, they might be a little overwhelmed at our little traveling road show coming into town, but hopefully we can work everything out. I'm confident that will work out.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, can I speak to Don and Mike?
Yes, you're on the air with us right now. Hello.
Hi, my name is Jay, and listen, I just wanted to holler at you guys and let y'all know that I've been in Greenville for 2 years listening to you guys, and I've loved you guys since the first day I heard you. And I just wanted to say, you know, I'm transferring to Charlotte, North Carolina. I just wanted to say, I appreciate, you know, you guys coming on the air and doing y'all's thing. It's been a fantastic ride, and, you know, I'm really going to miss y'all. You know, I miss everything there is to miss about Don and Mike, and I just wanted to say...
One less hillbilly listening to this show.
No, that's sad.
I'm sorry, sir.
No,
one less rope belt listening to this show.
What are you going to be doing in Charlotte, sir?
I'm in the flooring industry, and I just got transferred to a better position.
And, of course, in Greenville, South Carolina, no such thing as floor, because God made the floor in Greenville. It's called dirt.
So you will be moving up from Greenville, where there are dirt floors, to Charlotte, where... What are the floors made of there? Straw?
Hell, I don't know. They ain't much better, though.
Like I said, one less hillbilly. Listen, thank you for the call. You're very nice.
God bless you.
Appreciate y'all, guys. Thanks for doing what y'all are doing.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye forever.
Good to
John and Mike.
Yes, folks, we're not real sensitive when a person stops listening to the show. When we welcome new listeners, we're always much nicer.
Hello.
Oh, all right, let me try this one.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, I am the Duck Man. Duck Man.
Duck Man sounds like he could be another one of our guys.
I think he's your guy, Mike.
I think he's my guy, too.
It's your guy.
He's your guy all the way.
Absolutely.
And
he's ruined it now.
Duck Man.
He hung up.
Oh, man,
he's going to ruin a good thing. He's one of the few regular callers we have on the show, the guy who sings for you.
I will not allow my guy to be also to be Duckman. He cannot be two superheroes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Radio Gods.
Hello, Corey.
Yes, how's it going, guys?
Great, thanks.
Good, I'm from Wichita, and I just wanted to say, you know, it's too bad that the general manager down there at KFH had to represent the entire listening audience down here. We adore you guys down here. We're so looking forward to you guys coming down here.
Well, listen, that's really all, through all of the crap we've had with the radio station, we realize that the people of Wichita have made the show number one rated, and that's why we want to come out there. That's why we were concerned about the ticket fiasco, that the people who actually listen to the show weren't going to be able to get the tickets.
I wish I could go. I'm not. I'm leaving out of town tomorrow, but I've, you know, from...
Goodbye. Sorry, that's just immediate disqualification.
Goodbye.
If you're from Wichita, you better be going to that show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. But anyway, to finish the point, you know, we just want to make sure it's the right show. We want to make sure that our listeners can get tickets. We want to make sure that everybody knows the type of show that they can expect, and we don't want anybody to get arrested.
Right. We don't want anybody out there that's just going to be laying in wait.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. I think you a little punishment after lunch. I was writing the payment 1,000 times. I lost this day, I lost this day. Come on, you jump in anywhere.
What?
He's doing Albert Brooks.
What's
he's
he
doing Albert Brooks.
From what?
But it's Albert Brooks like with a section of his tongue removed.
It sounded to me like he was just like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, he feels like 1,000 times. Austin Eggs Egg, Austin Est Egg, Austin Est Egg.
Oh.
It's real
that's
weird.
That's what he was doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he had a weird speech impediment happening.
He did. Hello, Johnny.
Oh, Molly. I wonder if you like Os America show. Albert Brooks, the show, what Gamble said, I want to say, Os Nest Egg.
It almost sounds like Tom Brokaw. Tom Brokaw was in that movie.
Right? I lost an essay 1,000 times. Thank you very much. I'm Tom Brokaw.
Hello, Johnny.
Molly.
Johnny.
Oh, it's Tony.
Tony, I'm sorry. It says Johnny. Sorry, Tony.
Oh, hey. No, that's... I need our...
What?
God, you guys are killing me. You're making me nervous. No, I want to get together a six-girl show for you guys after the Las Vegas-style show.
Yeah, sure. That's just what we want.
Well, if you could tell me where you're staying, we'll get hotel rooms like next to you guys, and then it's going to be a party all night.
Oh, good. So are you going to get some hookers or something?
Well, I mean, I can't say that right here, but
frankly, if you'd like to know what we'd like, we would like... six girls, a variety of races,
yes,
a variety of sizes, and we would like them all to perform various sexual acts on us.
You guys got it, but I need to know where you're staying.
Hold on, and we'll let you know.
All right.
All right, now, you know what? Here's what we need. We need two Caucasians,
okay,
two black girls, and two Asian chicks.
Okay.
Two of the girls have to be into anal. That's for Robin for Buzz.
Two of the girls have to be at least 5'10".
And two of the girls have to be 5'5 or shorter. And they all have to have gigantic boobs. But no fakes.
Right, all real.
All real.
All right.
And don't forget, Mike would like his girl to have the landing strip for her hair down there. And
Don would like the cabbage patch.
The triangle.
Oh, the triangle.
The triangle.
And pretty. All of them pretty. All beautiful. Model pretty.
And they all need to have a blood test. We'll need all the medical workup.
And it'll be all there and writing.
And no girls having their periods.
Okay.
And we'd like them all when they arrive to be in business suits.
Should I save the one on the period for Dennis?
And you know what? Now that I think about it, why don't you throw in a midget?
Great.
Can you get us a midget just for fun? I mean, a dwarf?
If you can. A little person.
Yeah, I can get it.
And Dennis is not invited, so don't worry about Dennis.
All right, so now let's repeat.
Not coming?
No.
Let's repeat. You said that you could get us some girls.
Yes.
How many girls are you going to get us?
I will get you six girls.
And what do we need? What do we need?
You need two Caucasians with a fine landing strip, two Orientals, and...
Hello?
Yes?
Yeah, and be a little more politically correct. That's two Asian women.
Oh, sorry. All two right. Asian women.
Right.
With
and don't forget my brown sugar, two African Americans. And I want them to have afros, please. I love a woman with an afro.
Right. All right, you guys got it, and you got to bring the love snot. That's all you need. That's it.
We have to bring the love.
So gross. You don't want to know.
He said the love snot.
Oh, no problem. I got a factory.
Gross.
All right, that's...
And listen, what else do you have to have those girls do?
You got they have to be two of them anal.
Right.
I'm a midget.
You're writing all this down.
I'm trying.
And what about the breasts?
Huge.
Huge and? I see. You're not going to be able to supply us with the girls if you can't remember. No fake breasts.
No fakes. It's real.
That's right. And one with the landing strip and one with the cabbage
triangle.
Patch.
Triangle, Mike. The triangle.
I'm sorry, the triangle.
Triangle.
Does Buzz like his shaven?
Yes, he does. Yes.
Okay.
Buzz likes the JonBenet
look. I have his folks there, too, if they want to come party.
Buzz's folks?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Ma and Pa Elston.
You think your dad might want to join in on the fun?
No. That would be my
You've done
dad.
A lot of things. Have you ever had sex with your father? I don't mean sex with your father.
With your father in the same room.
No.
No, you haven't?
Absolutely not.
All right. Well, Johnny...
I think that's pretty much a horrible thought for anybody on this show.
Tony, listen, you asked, and that's what we would like.
Okay. I got a gift where you guys are staying.
Right. Hold on, please. Hold on, Johnny.
Hang on for that information.
Hold on. Just a second.
Johnny Yoon.
There he is. His name was Tony.
Oh, Tony.
Called him Johnny. He was really Tony.
Tony. Hello. He sounded like a Johnny.
John.
Don Mike. Show. Hello.
Hey, Buzz.
Hi.
How about that last guy, huh? Six chicks in a city that won't even let you get naked on stage.
Pretty amazing, isn't
right.
it?
Right. What more could you ask for?
Right.
Not Cousinay, maybe. He could be the awesome breakfast. Listen.
You know, give you credit. You're trying to work it all in there. Not Cousinay. Breakfast.
Listen, you guys, don't let the whole witches off thing get you down. The poor guy calls up because he's never going to be able to hear the show again, and you get a little bitter on him before you lighten up and say, okay, thanks a lot, guy, goodbye. It's okay, we're here for you. We're going to be there.
Listen, I got a message for you, okay?
Right?
F you, F-ball.
Oh,
okay?
All right, you fat bastards.
All right, goodbye.
Have a good one.
I'm Jack Cassidy.
Tell me how to talk to my listeners.
That man is not invited.
Oh, no.
Let's scream into the phone a little more, sir. It'll make the call more pleasant.
Hello, Mike. Mike, buddy. Perhaps you will respond to Michael.
Oh, hello.
How old are you?
20.
Right. What can we do for you?
And a phrase for you.
What are you doing there? Well, I mean, what are you doing? Is there a box of fettuccine or something?
Why is it when I turn on a disc jockey show like the Dr. Laura show, which is admittedly an awful show, how come when I hear these people on other shows, I don't hear guys mumbling and guys with popcorn bags opening and closing? How come I just hear, hi, listen, Dr. Laura, I just had sex with my mother, you know, and then she yells at them. But the calls are always crystal clear.
Sorry, I was crumpling paper. Throwing it away. I got a phrase for you in French.
Why were you crumpling paper when you were on the radio?
I finished printing something out and it was wrong.
You on the net today, son?
He's on the net all the time, Mike.
Of course he is.
Yes, what do you have for us, Michael?
I got a saying in French. It's tu as un petit stylo vert. It means you have a very small, moldy penis.
Thank you.
Very
you
nice.
There's no way you are 20 years old. How old are you really, son?
14.
14.
All right,
14.
You're never allowed to call again. Thank you. Until you're 18.
There's no way you're
all right, goodbye. Turn your radio down, please.
Please. Jesus Christ.
Prince of America.
Please.
As long as I've been living, the French have been f***ing us.
Hello, Justin.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I was just calling to let you guys know, we're looking forward to you guys coming down to the Cotillion here. And actually, I was going to let you know, one of my friends owns Davis Slicker, who is one of your sponsors down here. And she's been promised tickets to your show, and she hasn't even got those yet. And every time she calls in, she keeps getting the runaround.
Okay, well, she should call the radio station. Listen, you're going to start to bum us out now. We're trying to work it out, okay?
I hear you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye. Get lost.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah, Don. Yes, hello.
Can I have permission to break a rule?
What's the rule you want to break?
I want to hear you guys play the name game. It's been a while.
The name game comes up spontaneously.
Yeah, no, it can't be forced.
but I haven't lived for a while.
Nope. Maybe if you call us some other time and you get through and you just throw it out, we go with it.
I don't even want to play. I'm going to go postal.
You're screaming too loud. You're distorting in the phone, sir.
Well, I'm just going to go postal.
All right, well, go postal. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
All right, give you a chance. Goodbye.
You didn't even want to go postal for us.
Hello, Chris.
Hey. I just want to let you guys know I was out on Long Island. I'm out there frequently, and I picked up your show last week at 7 p.m. And let me tell you, what a refreshing thing. I had a three-hour drive, and you guys were a blast.
Well, that's great. Thank you.
It was great to hear. And thus, I won a Soprano CD and T-shirt from you. Excellent CD.
Yeah. All right, that's fantastic.
Excellent. Thank you, man.
God bless you.
All right, take care, guys.
Guy calling us from New York. Hello, Rich.
Yeah, how you guys doing today?
Hey, Rich, buddy.
Hey, I was wondering if you guys saw the Frank Ahern's puff piece on the Grease Man this weekend in the Post.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we saw it last week. Made me feel bad for the Grease Man. It really did.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did feel sorry, but he really kind of glossed over the whole Dr. Chip bandwidth, which I thought was kind of...
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right. I'm Chip Bandwidth. I'm a doctor and a wacky guy to punctuate this infomercial with funny topicality. Hey, listen, how's your today? All right. Oh, St. Croix. I'm not going to be going there.
Hey, the Virgin Islands. Good morning, Virgin Islands. You know, if you read this article, I don't have time to give everybody listening to background on this disc jockey, the Grease Man.
It's a big story that was in there because when things go wrong for disc jockeys, it's a big story. When things go right for disc jockeys, it's a teeny tiny little story.
And the thing that got me about this article, I know you agree with this, is that this guy from the Post, this idiot Frank Ahern's, who wrote this piece on the Grease Man about how he can't get a job in radio now. The thing that bothered me most about the article was not the fact that, listen, you know, the Grease Man made this mistake. Either he's going to get out of radio or somebody's going to hire him. Just get off his ass about this. It wasn't that. It was the fact the way he portrayed the lifestyle
right. Of
the disc jockey.
Which was so inaccurate. And a guy, it shows to me just how in touch with the world Frank Ahern's is. At least in touch with the world of people that are on the radio.
He wrote about the life of a shock jock.
The glamorous life of a shock jock. I think at one point, that was in the article, the glamorous life.
The glamorous life. Going to parties,
yeah. You
know, dancing on the edge, living this extravagant lifestyle, the glamorous life of a shock jock.
I mean, there is nothing really that is glamorous about what we do. I'm not kidding you. We love doing what we do.
You see our surroundings.
But, I mean, come on, give me a break. If he really believes that, and especially if you're talking about a guy that's doing a morning show, there's nothing glamorous at all about doing a morning show.
No, it's slightly more glamorous doing an afternoon show only because we got 8 hours of sleep.
Sure, we get to stay up a little later.
But please, there's nothing glamorous about radio, period. But the Grease Man, right. The glamorous life of the shock jock, the exciting life, the living life on the edge. You want to excite your audience, you want to anger your audience, but you're always right on the edge, never knowing if you're going to go too far.
We want to survive. We want to keep the job, keep the ratings up, and get a good paycheck. That's it.
Yeah, you want glamour? I'll give you glamour, you son of a bitch. Here's glamour. My wife wants to go to Spain. My wife wants to buy an apartment in New York. And she can't wait for me to die so she can get money for my insurance. That's my glamorous day. And the Jehovah's Witnesses came to my house. That's my glamorous day as a shock job.
I think you're dealing with two individuals that have probably within the last month both cleaned up dog diarrhea.
Yes.
There's the glamorous
last weekend.
Life. Absolutely.
Last weekend.
And not, you know, I'm not talking about the firm stuff. Real dog
diarrhea. Right, Jell-O pudding.
Right.
Right, chocolatey brown pudding.
But what worries me is when you read that, I mean, this is this guy's opinion, this Frank Ahern's guy.
Right.
It means he's not in touch with what we do. And if a guy's writing, you know, the column called The Listener, if he's the resident Washington Post expert on radio, I would like him to be a little more in touch with what it is that we do.
He has no idea.
But we are lower than circus clowns on the show business ladder.
What does he think? By the glamorous life of a shock jock, what do you think he thinks? Mm-hmm. Do you think... Well, first off, you know, he must imagine that we take a limo to work,
right.
Which we don't. We drive ourselves. We drive crappy cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we drive our kids to school in the morning. Our wives yell at us on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, what's glamorous about this? I mean, I'll give you this. I'd much rather do this than dig a ditch.
Absolutely. It's a great job. It's a wonderful job.
Or write a boring column in a newspaper. I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not glamour.
No, it's wonderful.
You know, I'm not out with a starlet every night.
It's silly. It's silly. And when he wrote that, it was he was just totally out of touch.
Hello, Greg. But
reality.
He actually made me feel...
$1 million for a local radio gig? Is that possible?
No, and that's another inaccuracy he wrote. He wrote the Grease Man makes $1 million a year. Or did.
Mm-hmm.
He did not. He did not.
Not true.
He did not. But again, you know, why should Frank Ahearns worry about a fact?
Right.
Because it looks better in the newspaper to write it's glamorous and that this guy made $1 million a year.
Yeah, and this whole thing about him being on top of the world before that happened, that's not true either. He had been a guy that had a lot of opportunities lost. I mean, he really did.
That's right.
And you know, I agree. I felt for him also because I do think that, you know, to a certain extent, if I was advising him, I would say that maybe it is time to maybe look for something else to do with your life.
I'd say, you know what, maybe, though, if you got fired for making an interracial slur, that maybe the Virgin Islands is not the best spot to rejuvenate your career.
It's amazing. And you did have to feel, at a certain point, you know, the whole picture. Yeah, they loved that at the Washington Post.
Sure.
A DJ down on his luck. Man, there's nothing that they love more because the guys that write those columns hate us!
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, can I please speak to Don and Mike?
You're speaking to us.
All right, Don and Mike, this is David from Wichita.
Yes, David.
Just wanted to let you guys know about, they have a local disc jockey here that they, apparently some people didn't like very much. And they tried to shut him down trying to do all this FCC and actually standing outside.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a real trailblazer. That's why he's in Wichita.
That's exactly
it. Yeah, I'm sure that's why he's in Wichita, because he's such a friggin' trailblazer.
Another call from Wichita.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Christina.
Don and Mike?
Yeah, hi, baby.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Because everybody knows if you really want to go on the edge in radio, if you want to do a cutting-edge show, go to Wichita.
Absolutely.
Man. That's where you make the audience stand up on their hind legs.
Huzzah!
Jesus, this is shocking radio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to go to L.A. I don't want to go to New York. I don't want to go to D.C. I want to go to Wichita.
Huzzah!
Hello.
Hey, I lived in Wichita for 9 stinking months.
Lovely. Hey,
I'd like to just say this should not become a Wichita bashing segment, Christina. We are at this moment, we are still planning to attend.
Yes, and when I said that about the disc jockey, I was not inferring anything about the city of Wichita. Simply, it is a smaller radio market.
That's right. We've got some great fans in Wichita.
That's right.
And there's no way that a local disc jockey in Wichita...
Mm-hmm.
I could possibly understand what it's like to be stepped on by the FCC.
That's right.
Like we've been stepped on. And we were just stepped on again 2 weeks ago by the FCC.
On our necks.
You guys will be the best thing that has happened to Wichita in probably 200 years or so.
Oh, Christina, Christopher, damn it.
Wait, what can we do for you, honey?
Well, guys, I just have been waiting all this time to talk to you on the phone. I bought a cell phone with the distinct reason of talking to you guys.
Wow.
And I'm just so excited. I've been listening to you guys forever. And I've traveled from Virginia to Maryland to Atlanta and then to Wichita and back here to Maryland. And I'm just so psyched. I get to hear you guys every day on my commute.
Well, who's the celebrity you most resemble, Christina?
Oh, and you know, I have been prepared for that question.
Who is it?
Well, I get a lot of Scully from the X-Files.
Oh, baby. Like that.
But I've got a friend who told me if I ever talked to Don and Mike, I had to tell you guys I look like Beverly D'Angelo.
Oh, and with all of Beverly D'Angelo's attributes?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Imagine that if it was Gillian Anderson with Beverly D'Angelo's boobs.
That's a perfect woman right there.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, Christina.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure.
No, it's been a pleasure for us.
And, you know, because of this call, I am now taken back to the vacation scene, the movie Vacation. Where
in the shower.
She's in the shower in the motel.
In the shower.
Wonderful.
In the shower without her pants on.
Didn't need Chevy Chase in that movie.
You don't need Chevy Chase in any movie.
That's for sure.
Thank you, Christina.
Love you guys.
No, love you more.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I did laugh when he spit out the bologna sandwich, though.
Bye. Oh, that the dog had peed on?
Yeah, right. That's kind of a Chevy Chase move.
Hello, last call. Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. No disrespect to Buzz, but I'm tired of hearing about Wichita. I'm tired of hearing all these pinheads from Wichita call up.
Buzz, do you take any offense at what this guy's saying?
No, I'm just tired of hearing calls like this one.
Oh, well, sorry, Buzz, but, you know, Wichita's just one little place on the map, and we know you're getting ready to do your show out there, but...
Listen, hold on. Listen to this.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Okay, how many times do I have to tell you people? You don't have anything to do with the content on this show.
Oh, I'm not bitching at you, Don. I'm just calling to tell the pinheads from Wichita.
I know, but listen, the pinheads from Wichita will continue to call because this is the biggest thing that's happened to them.
Well, that's true. I guess we're used to having you here in our major radio market.
Well, thank you. Listen, if at any time you don't like what we're talking about, feel free to check out because I know you'll check back in.
Hey, I'm with you. I'm steady with you guys.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
All
that's
right,
great.
Thanks,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good. Little city versus city battle shaping up there.
Bye-bye.
Our major market.
In this major
radio market.
Bye-bye.
I wouldn't bet on Wichita in that battle. No offense, Wichita.
Right. Now, listen, when we come back, I know what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Kathy Lee.
Oh, my God. She's at it again.
Cunny Lee Gifford. This great article that we just got in People Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And also the funniest thing I saw in the world today on ESPN, where they were showing the spring training highlights.
Right.
And without even laughing or anything, they just showed Garth Brooks taking an at-bat for the Mets.
And you were on the floor.
Oh, Jesus. He's big. He's fatter than I am. And he swung out. And he struck out. And then the bat goes flying out of his hands. And they show him go running down, just waddling down to first base. There's Garth Brooks at the top of the ninth. I mean...
You know the players have to just hate that.
And we gotta discuss that. First, let's clear the lines out. Let's take a caller 100. A prize package selected especially for you. A shot at $1,000 later this week. Phone number 1-877-365-3636. Good luck.
This Mike Show.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
All right, let me do a couple of station checks. Green Bay, Wisconsin, it's WNFL in Richmond, Virginia, WHAN, Portland, Oregon, K-Guy, K-G-U-Y, and in New York City, every night we're on 102.7, WNEW.
Like a daily four-hour Hot Carl, the Don and Mike Show.
Doesn't beat the nice Hot Carl.
I could use one right now.
Touchdown. Caller 100 time. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Right, you are. And what's your name?
Jim from Waldorf, Maryland.
Jim, buddy. You've won the WCW Thunder prize pack. Don't miss WCW Thunder Patriot Center tonight. See Goldberg and many other wrestlers.
Oh, wow.
202-432 seats for tickets. But wait, there's more. You've also qualified to win $1,000 courtesy of OnMoney.com. We're giving that away on Friday's episode. Please make sure you're listening, okay?
Outstanding.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Listening to us on good old WJFK-FM.
Outstanding, Private Pile.
His name is Jim, and that reminds me of my brother Jim, and that reminds me that the worst decision I ever made was to get my brother a computer.
Right.
And get him on the internet. Because now, without fail, whenever I go on AOL, I get that instant message. And it says, you have an instant message from Dumb Jim.
Yeah, he likes it now. He likes communicating with you.
Would you like to accept? And, of course, I always click on yes. And then the conversations go like this. Hi, homo. And I type back. Hi, idiot. Then he types in, what are you doing? And I type in, reading my mail, organizing, paying bills,
sure,
getting ready to go to bed. Then I wait, and there's not a response. And then I type in again, what are you doing? And then he types back, surfing the net.
There you go.
Moronic.
He likes it. It's new technology for him.
And I'm afraid that I'm hurting his feelings, because every time now, the routine is, no matter what time I'm on the computer, he instant messages me. And every time, I always write, I'm going to bed.
Yeah. 12 noon, I'm going to bed.
Well, no, it's always at night.
Right.
But last night it was about 8:45 I got on the computer.
Sure.
And I typed that in, I still have jet lag from L.A. Going to bed now. Must catch some Z's.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
And then you stay on the computer.
Well, no, so you got to sign off.
Oh, you do?
You got to sign off because if you're on somebody's buddy list.
So you go watch TV after that.
If you're on somebody's buddy list, they can instantly see whenever you're online. For instance, that's one thing that's spooky about Wendell. You know, our engineer Wendell, who's a great guy. Wendell is on the computer, I guess, and probably on kiddie porn sites, 24 hours a day. And Wendell has, like, a variety of guys on AOL, has right. about 100 different names.
Sure.
So it's not surprising
Norman Bates.
That I would be online, and all of a sudden I would say, you have an instant message from...
Michael Myers.
NK52743.
Jason Voorhees on the line for you.
They're always just letters and numbers. They don't really mean anything. And then I'll click in like, yes, I'll accept. And I'll always have to type in, who is this? And it just get the one word,
Wendell. Wendell.
And a couple of weeks ago when we got our picture in the New York Post,
yeah,
I woke up in the morning and turned on my AOL and said, you've got mail. And again, there was an address that I didn't recognize.
Right.
I clicked it on, and it said, congratulations on being in the New York Post. And it had an attachment where I could go to a website and see the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so I write back, who are you?
Who are you, mystery man?
Right, I don't know who is it.
Right.
Well, and I'm waiting, I'm sitting there, 10 minutes later, Wendell. 6 o'clock in the morning.
Wendell.
You've got mail. It comes back, one word, Wendell.
Wendell.
Simply Wendell.
Lots of different addresses.
Of addresses.
It's a weird world out there. I try to keep it pretty simple.
He loves instant messaging, though. Wendell and my brother, they love the instant message.
I tell you, there's a lot of communicating going on out
there.
There
is.
Lots of jokes, lots of lists, lots of foul pictures.
Yeah, I have to tell, you know, I've got that rule, and I've got to tell my brother the rule now, the same rule that I have with all my friends and with all my family. Do not... Under any circumstances, if you ever want to get email from me,
right.
Do not send me that crap. Do not send me. And my brother is the biggest violator of the rule. With, like, the blonde jokes.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Where I'll get the attachment where there's 5 pages I have to download of these dumbass blonde jokes. And Polack jokes, my brother
That's
went,
amazing.
My brother went to a site, you know, he's never been on the internet before.
Right.
We found like 10,000 Polack jokes.
And then he, you know, prints them up and he figures out the technology to send them to you.
Yes, he did.
See, I'm too much of an idiot. You know, I would have to, the only way I figure it, with some of the things I get with the jokes, the long, long jokes,
right.
I don't even read them.
Me
I mean, if I get a short, you know, sweet little joke, I might read it. As a matter of fact, I might tell it later if it's funny. But the ones that take an entire page to get to the punchline,
forget
it.
Right. And generally, the only email that I get, the only spam email that I get that I like is from Jason Bishop.
Now, explain this.
Spam is junk mail.
Spam email. Is that the lingo that it is for people that go in chat rooms?
That's what you call it. Well, it's generally it's people trying to sell you stuff.
Junk mail.
Uh-huh. You know.
Spam mail.
And I consider just about any mail that I get to be spam mail.
Right.
Meaning that unless I know exactly who's sending it to me, I pretty much don't open it up. But whenever I get something from JB, I open it up because it's always a QuickTime movie of two fat chicks in the in the shower together.
Real quality
or
stuff.
A pizza guy being hit by a car.
There you go.
Or something. Whenever I get something.
He sends worthwhile emails.
Yes. Lurch is the only guy.
Right.
I know when I get something from him.
Sure.
I open it up and I'm going to be satisfied.
You know it's quality.
Yeah, it's good.
Absolutely.
It's not that crap my brother writes me.
I'm still somewhat computer illiterate where I would be unable, if somebody sent me something that I really liked, I wouldn't know how to put it on something to send somebody else. I wouldn't know how to do that.
Really? You wouldn't know that?
Absolutely not. I might be able to noodle it through, but I've never, ever had the inclination to do it.
You ever sent a file? You ever done an attachment?
Nope.
I write letters to people. You know, I write little email messages, and that is it. And I remember that the first time I was doing it was something golf related, where I was emailing a bunch of people about you know, I needed a fourth or something, and I had to put a bunch of guys, you know, on the list.
Right.
And it took me like 2 hours to do that. You know, I know there's a way of I think it's reply all or something like that. You know, but I mean, it's difficult for me because I'm never inclined to do it. If I wanted to do it, I know that I could sit there for 20 minutes, figure it out,
you
and be able to do it.
Instance,
I know
sure.
I could, I've never had, you know, when people send me things, I'm very selfish. I'll read it and I'll chuckle, and then it's gone. It's deleted, and then the delete box is empty.
That's what we all do.
Yeah,
that's what everybody does.
I never had the desire to, like, send a lengthy treatise on some, you know, on some subject to somebody else. I don't do that.
I do a lot of times. I do if I'd rather do that than rather talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my main strategy I use with Buzz.
Right.
I enjoy it. I mean, no, I'm serious. If there's something I need to discuss with Buzz,
right.
It's much easier just to write it all down and not have to go through, you know, not to have to hear what he has to say. You know what I mean? And, then Buzz corresponds with me the same way, because I'm sure he feels the same way. He doesn't want to hear my rhetoric back.
I have used email to respond, like if I've been at somebody's house and had a really nice time, or someone has done something, you know, a social gathering, a friend has done something really nice. I normally wouldn't, you know, call and say, hey, that was really sweet. But you can do that on email, and it's not...
That's my whole point with Buzz, because you get the message across, but you don't have to waste any time talking. Again, I'm not talking about you.
No, I understand.
I'm talking about someone else.
I agree.
You don't have to waste time talking to somebody. You just get your message across, and then you're done with it.
I like that. That's the best thing about email. And scheduling. I find that scheduling with email, setting up a lunch date, setting up a dinner date, setting up anything where you're going to meet another person.
Golf, man.
It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to, like, regular groups on the weekend, because everybody, you know, every week, you know, who's in? That's it. That's my email message from the one guy that coordinates everything. Who's playing? That's it. And then you have this whole list of guys, and then everybody sends back. Now, the taboo is if you don't respond. Like, if you're not going to show up and you don't take that 5 seconds to respond, then, you know, if you do that enough times, you're not going to be on the list anymore.
Hello, Dan.
Hi there.
Hey.
How are you today, Don?
Doing great, thank you.
I wanted to give you some advice as far as avoiding your brother on AOL.
No, I knew we were going to get this. Every time we talk about computers, guys want to call with information. Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm not any kind of techno weenie or anything like that. I'm pretty stupid when it comes to computers.
Okay.
But I use a second address.
Well, so I have a bunch of addresses, too, but the problem is I've already told my brother the addresses.
Well,
how do you get a bunch of addresses?
You have to get rid of one and get a new one.
See, the problem is you don't have AOL.
Right.
Yeah, I do.
No, I'm talking to Mike. I'm not talking to you.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
If you have AOL...
Excuse me. I mean, you said that like I've committed some sort of crime.
Goodbye. If you have AOL...
Yes.
You can sign on with as many as 10 different names at once.
Really?
You can just have different accounts and stuff. Like, I have...
I could probably do that with the thing I'm on, too. Probably.
I have 5 different accounts. My son has 5 different accounts. Frida has 5 different accounts.
Look at you. Just... embracing this technology, I've got to really get with the program. You know, because sometimes I really don't... I got an email from a friend of mine, and it was one of those movies or pictures or something.
Right.
And I click on it, and my system goes, pow, and I've got an error thing. And it's happened to me twice. Happened to me once with Jason, where it shut down the whole deal, where I couldn't... And I've got to click... I click the close button on it.
Right.
And when I do that, I log off. I get offline. And it's driving me nuts. And I had to get old, you know, shaking hands, Daryl, to come out and finally figure it out.
Listen, I know this is your worst nightmare, but really, you should have Frida to come over to your house.
Mm-hmm.
She could fix your computer.
She's better than Daryl is at.
She's better than Daryl.
I swear to God, she is.
Wow.
She knows what she's doing. Not that Daryl doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
Hello, Tom.
Don and Mike.
Tom, buddy.
That son of a bitch before me took my answer I was going to give you guys.
Well, like I don't know to use another screen name. Right?
Okay,
thank you. Thing was spam email, unsolicited email that you get from junk. Or, you know, it's just junk.
Well, I consider every piece of mail I get, unless it's perfect, unless it's real personal, to be just spam. It's all crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've gone times where I've gotten like message after message after message from somebody that I didn't know the address. I didn't know who it was coming from.
Don't even open those up.
And I didn't even, I didn't respond.
Good. I don't even open those up. That's how paranoid I am.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don.
I found out who it was, though.
Who was it?
It was a guy that works up at the place I play golf, and he was like sending jokes and everything. And now I know who it is, so it's a little peace of mind.
Hello?
Oh, hey, Mike, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
With yesterday's show, hearing about golf out in L.A., me and my brother are getting ready to go out there this weekend. First time we've ever been out there, kind of novice at it. Didn't know if you might be able to recommend a course in the L.A. area.
I'll tell you the one we played at, but it was a fortune. It cost a small fortune to play. It's a public course, but it costs a lot of money. It costs like Pebble Beach money to play it, but we played it because it was rated very high. It's called Pelican Hills. It's a real nice golf course.
It's O.J.'s club.
Okay. That's the place we were trying to get on, but unfortunately we did not have the connections.
Hello, you didn't kill your wife yet. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
I've got an idea for you to, where your brother won't be able to see you online. There's a privacy control under your buddy list.
Okay, got it. I already know it. I've already seen it, sir. But listen, but the point is, I'm bitching about it with my brother. I know that I could do that if I wanted to, but I don't want to do that. You know,
okay.
Because then if he gets online and he sees I'm not online, then he'll call me.
And do you have to be an AOL person to do the instant messaging with you?
No. My brother is on Netscape, and he can instant message me. Now, Buddy List, though, Buddy List is strictly AOL. where you can log on the computer, and that's like a way of spying on people. Because every time you turn the computer on, I can see, for instance, oh, Wendell's online. Oh,
right.
Charlie Broyhill is online.
Oh.
You can, you know, it's like finding out what people are doing.
You can't find out what sites they're on, though.
No, you can't.
That's coming.
No, you can't. Yeah, that's
eventually, everyone will know what everyone else is doing.
And that's when I will officially turn off my computer forever.
Yeah.
Now, listen, about Garth Brooks.
Yes.
Today, I'm watching SportsCenter this morning, and I was interested in watching some of the baseball stuff. Even though I'm not a huge baseball fan, I'm getting into it a little bit, because there's frankly nothing else to watch in sports right now.
I frankly am amazed that you're... Yeah, well, you were watching SportsCenter, right?
Yeah, just SportsCenter.
So you happen to see baseball, but you're not turning the corner on baseball.
No, but I'm not turning the channel either, so I'm watching all the highlights. I'm waiting to see Mark McGwire or something, and they show the Mets. So I think, all right, I'll watch the Mets. I don't know dick about the Mets.
Right.
And they show this fat guy, like if they're fatter than me, going up the plate, and all of a sudden this guy takes a swing, strike one, takes a swing, strike two, takes a third swing, the bat slips out of his hands, but for some reason it's a passed ball, so the guy, he has a chance to run to first. They show this guy trying to beat the throw to first
at a real game he was playing in?
Yes!
Oh, my God.
He's running as fast as he possibly can to first base, and I swear to God, it's like he's running in slow motion, and the ball just zips by him, and they go, that was Garth Brooks in his only appearance in the game? And they went by it like it was nothing, so I waited until the next hour, because, you know, they replay SportsCenter every hour in the morning.
It's the greatest sport in the world as far, because nobody cares. Spring training is just one and big party.
The next hour, they replayed it again, and yeah, it's Garth Brooks. I forgot that he had gone to camp with the Mets.
It's amazing.
And that they're putting him in a game. And I know it's just an exhibition game,
but the players still have to hate it. Especially, you know who hates it? The AAA guys.
Yeah,
the AA guys that are trying to make the team.
The guys who are busting their ass trying to make the roster, who maybe one plate appearance.
Absolutely.
One plate appearance could win them a spot on the team, but no.
Or at least get them noticed. That's, I mean, they are, those things are near and dear to those players, just getting a chance to get in the game.
But no, the fat country singer has to do it. And then I was watching the Today Show, and I saw that they did an entire piece on Garth Brooks
playing baseball
down in spring training, and his whole thing is that he's doing it, the great benevolent Garth Brooks, a.k.a. Chris Gaines,
right?
He's doing this because he's giving $2 million out of his $100 million fortune to help the Touch Every Base Foundation.
Oh, you know, so that's his way of getting out, getting out and to relive his fantasy.
And what he's doing is he's going out and he's meeting all these baseball players, and he's putting the push on them to give some of their gigantic salaries to charity.
Well, you know, I think it would be okay if every team had to have one country singer on it. Every single team. Like, you had Boxcar Willie playing for the Marlins. You had maybe Waylon Jennings. He's going to play. He's going to play for the Minnesota Twins.
It makes a mockery of what is just teetering on the edge of becoming a real sport anyway. I mean, baseball is so far out of my consciousness anyway. But I turn it on and I see this. Then I turn on Regis. And they show Regis down in spring training with the Yankees, and Regis has got the freaking uniform on, and he's not in a game. He's in the batting cage. And then they show Joe Torre standing out in left field, and who's standing out there with him? Billy Crystal.
Oh, Billy Crystal, big Yankee
Billy
fan.
Billy Crystal's got a freaking Yankee uniform
They've
on.
They've got to hate it. They've got to hate those guys being out there.
Those guys want to come by, let them come by. I'd be interested to go by. But don't give them uniforms.
Man, that was incredible. The White Sox really turned that double play with Carrot Top out there at second base.
Don't give them uniforms. And whatever you do, don't let Garth Brooks play in a real game.
I follow baseball. I follow baseball every single day in great detail. And when you're reading about these guys that are coming up and trying to make the team, they're always talking about getting an opportunity to showcase themselves, to at least show them. Not necessarily. If a guy's going to get one at bat, he's not going to make the big league team. He's not. That's not going to happen. But he is going to be considered for, you know, his whole career is
AAA, AA,
where he's going to be. You know, getting the big guys like the GM and the manager to take a look at him. And when old fat Garth Brooks gets in, one of these guys is missing a chance.
Just so Garth Brooks can get his nut off. Just so he can put a uniform on and stand in a real game.
Mm-hmm.
Please, I hope some pitcher beams him in the head.
I wonder if that's his only at-bat. I'm sure he's getting more at-bats.
I don't know. They maybe someone who knows more about it would be able to educate me.
Mm-hmm.
They made it like he was just a regular player, though. They go, right in the bottom of the ninth. Right. One man on.
Mm-hmm.
That's Garth Brooks.
Love to see George Jones play for the Astros, though.
Hello, here is...
get some of the really feebed out country singers out there. Now I'm watching.
Here is Mike calling us from Alaska. Mike.
Buddies.
Mike from Anchorage, Alaska. Hello.
How you doing, man?
We're doing great.
Listen, thanks to you guys, I'm in the hospital.
Why?
Hey, I'm listening to your show yesterday. The chick comes on and stirs the soup.
Right.
I'm laying on the couch. I get done listening to that. I get up, pole vault out the window, and fell three stories.
All right, I got you. Thank you, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Making a penis joke. Okay, hello, Shane.
Hey, what's happening?
Shane from Virginia, hello.
I'm all right. Just got two questions for you.
Yeah.
Number one, what did you think about last night's show on King of Queens? And two, when do you plan on going back out there and doing another one other than the one you just did? And thank you for your service, and I'll wait for your answer off the air.
Thank you. Thank you. Didn't see it last night, and unless we get a script in advance, never. And you're welcome for the service to our country.
Thank you.
Hello, James. James from Virginia.
Don and Mike.
James, buddy.
Did you guys see the last Thursday's episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Oh, I told Mike. Is that the one with Regis's feet?
Yes.
I saw it.
And Regis's feet were pretty nasty looking?
Oh, my God. These thousand-year-old talons. Golly.
I'm telling you, Regis has got this thing. You know, Mike's got this thing about saying he has beautiful feet.
Right.
But Regis has been saying the same thing. So they get this guy on the Millionaire Show, and I don't know how it worked out, but they took their shoes off. And they had on one side of the screen this guy's feet, the contestant. They look like Fred Flintstone's feet.
Right.
And then next to them, you could have said there's a pair of ostrich feet. You could have said it's some kind of animal feet.
You're telling me that Regis is the kind of guy that could go hang gliding on vacation and catch fish?
Yeah.
if he hang glides over a lake.
Yes, because his toes are all curled. It wasn't that the nails were excessively long. They appeared to be clean. Hey, look, Gelman, I caught a bass. But like, the toes are all clawed over. So they put up the picture. They put up the still of Regis's feet and this other guy's feet. And then they go, okay, we're going to poll the audience. Who has the most beautiful feet? You know, and then the idiots in the audience, they punch in their computers and, surprise, Regis wins 57-43.
Did you see Regis's hairless leg today on Live?
Oh, yes, I did.
He's been doing this for 2 days now.
Oh, God.
Okay, when he was at spring training with the Yankees.
Right.
He got hit by a foul ball on his shin, and it raised kind of a welt. Well, the last couple of days, he's been lifting up his pant leg to show this welt on his sock.
Right.
Today, when they had Matt Lauer on, he lifts up his entire pant leg to show this thing, and he's got a giant Band-Aid, and I swear to God...
Not any hair at all.
The leg...
The leg hair is gone. No, old men will lose all their leg hair, right?
The leg looks like a Frank Perdue chicken leg.
Pants wearing off.
That is the consistency of this.
From, years and years of his wool trousers rubbing up against his leg.
Oh, it was awful.
Hey, take a look at this, Matt Lauer.
Hello, Brian. Brian in Bakersfield, California. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm Bonnie.
Good. Hey, just calling you. This is not the first time Garth Brooks has done this. Last summer, he played with the Padres.
I know, and I think we probably said the same thing last summer about some real young aspiring ball player.
Did he play in the big leagues? I mean, did he play in non-spring training? Was it last summer? Was it really last summer?
No, it was spring training last year.
Spring training.
Right.
Yeah, he's a load, Dan. He's a load now.
He's a giant load. I mean, I don't mind the guy. Who wouldn't want to go to spring training and put the uniform on?
Hey, if you have the opportunity, you can't knock him for that.
Right.
It's just
don't put him in the game, though.
Yeah, it sucks.
And, you know, they had that manager of the Mets that... Boy, I hate it anyway. Bobby Valentine, he's such a slicky boy.
Do you remember when we did our stint with baseball? When we went to a minor league baseball game and we got in the uniforms?
Yeah.
And we took BP, took batting
but
practice.
We didn't get in a game, we just took batting practice.
Took batting practice, and what they did as a joke, which I found out later, they gave us one bat to use, and they went down and took the heaviest bat they had. This is a bat that, like, the big right fielder, the strongest guy on the team.
That weighs like 100 pounds.
He wouldn't use, and so we're like small children up there trying to hit the... it was Gene Tennis, I think, who was
the guy who used to be with the Oakland A's.
Yeah,
right.
The manager of the team.
Yeah, they got a big laugh at the disc jockeys, you know, trying to pick up this 100-pound bat to swing at.
That's right. I also remember, you know, we don't have the regular pants for you. Yeah. Here are the special pants. The special softball pants they brought in. Do you remember that?
Yeah, well, too fat for the regular baseball uniforms.
Yeah, we couldn't get the regular baseball uniforms.
They'd have the special stretchy pants.
And they weren't the, you know, and so to make it worse, it wasn't like, at least when you see those guys out there, they're wearing the uniform of the team. Well, it made us wear different uniforms. So we
had pinstripes on, and they had like like gray uniforms.
So
like,
embarrassing.
We had these queer clown looking uniforms on.
Here, try these on. I'm like, you're kidding me.
And this guy today, the manager of the Mets, they have him mic'd.
Okay. Right.
Wall Garth Brooks.
Bobby Valentine.
He's like, come on, Garth, buddy. Come on, make this a million seller. Come on, baby. Do it for the kids. Yeah, baby.
He's a slicky boy.
Do it for the kids.
Yeah.
And they made a point of saying that all the Mets players are so fond of Garth Brooks, yet they didn't have one single Met player who was on camera saying that he was fond of Garth Brooks.
I think he's lower. You know, tick, tick, tick.
They had who was it? Mike Piazza. They had a shot of Mike Piazza. They said, Mike Piazza makes $13 million a year. And that was the only...
That was it.
Because Garth Brooks was talking about how these guys make so much money and they should give some of their money back.
Oh, I bet that makes him real popular with the team, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Really want to have that guy hanging around.
Well, appears to me the first base coach... Yes, he stuck his leg out and tripped Garth Brooks.
Hello, Josh.
Yes. Hey, I'm from Wichita, and I've got a song I'd like you to hear. Maybe something good from Wichita.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Old record, so bear with it.
What is this? This guy tried to make things better from Wichita.
Well, you know something? Consider my mind totally at ease now. After hearing this, I feel much better about Wichita.
I don't know what this is.
I'm sorry. I don't feel like we're taking a plane ride to hell.
Got
to
move on. Last call. Michael Bakersfield.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
Great, thanks.
I'm a little disappointed in you, Don.
Well, join. Take a number for better service.
It's not for that, though. I really envy...
What do you mean it's not for that? How did you know what I was talking about?
Because you always think... Listen, I watched Ellen...
You're not going to get off the hook. Okay. That's the second time you haven't made any sense, and you're going to be made to make sense.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, now, what did you mean when you said, it's not that? Or were you just talking to hear yourself talk?
Actually, I didn't hear myself, so... But I was just saying, the reason...
No. No. Sorry.
Come on, please. Work with us here.
Okay.
What did you mean when you said that? Don said, take a number, and he was just, making kind of a general flip comment. He said, no, it's not that. What did you think he was talking about?
Well, he seems like he's disappointed. His wife is disappointed because he won't listen to her about going to New York. He wants to wait till he gets there. So, Don always feels that somebody's disappointed with him.
Okay, but obviously that wasn't you.
No.
So there was really no need.
But you're right, I am now disappointed in you. You turned out to be an awful caller.
Yeah,
so
you are.
Maybe you're Nostradamus. You're predicting the future here.
No, it's not true.
See, I would tell you, of course it's not that. Yeah, because we would know that. Yes, I mean, if it's the wife issue, of course it's not you. There was no need for you to say, it's not that. You see?
Okay. Well, what do you want?
I just wanted to say, I was watching the show you were watching about Ellen yesterday.
Yes.
And usually I think that you're right on with most of the stuff you say, but I was a little disappointed with her. But no,
or,
that's
or,
not.
Or two.
Yeah.
Two. If you're lucky.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. It's subjective, right?
Yes, I agree.
Very subjective.
Usually you're right on, though.
Well, I am right about that, and frankly, you're just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, do we have the video stuff ready? You know, at some point, we still haven't gotten the videos of it here.
Right.
We have the thing.
We'll do it yesterday.
Now, if you want. Well,
no, I don't
want
to do it now. We're too late into the show. How about tomorrow? We'll look at Ellen's boobs tomorrow.
That's good.
Also, on The Sopranos last night, they did say that he was clinically dead.
We covered that yesterday, so you're going in reverse.
I listened to you yesterday.
I already paid the bet.
You're this is covered ground.
I understand.
Okay.
Also, Charles Broyhill, or the guy who does the show, the movies.
Yes, that's not Charles Broyhill.
His name is Charlie Stossel.
What a mess. You're wrong about Charlie that
Stossel.
Also.
The guy, he was wrong about the bet you lost to him, too. Star Wars has done over $675 million.
You're going so far in reverse right now.
If it's at all possible, you are moving the show in the wrong direction right now.
Sorry,
I mean, I appreciate the sentiment, but everything you're talking about is stuff that's already happened. No, I lost the Star Wars bet. Fair and square. Star Wars has not made more than Titanic.
Okay.
What is that piano music I hear in the background?
Do you hear piano music? You can hear that?
Yes, I can.
Yes, we can.
That was a TV. Sorry about that. All right, well, I guess I blew it. Sorry about that, guys.
What did you just drop?
I put my remote control down.
That sure that wasn't a belt buckle?
Oh, you got you.
You're very good, you.
What?
I want to say one thing on a serious note. My grandfather died late February. I was on my way to
good.
Go up.
Thank God.
Listen.
Thank God he doesn't have to see you anymore. That's probably the last thing he thought. At least I don't have to talk to that moronic grandson of mine anymore.
Probably the one.
Thank God I'm dying.
Probably the one consoling factor in his life. He probably had all those thoughts about going to the great hereafter, but he realized at least I won't have to listen to that moron.
I'm ready to die, Jesus. Please take me away from my retarded grandson, Michael.
I know dying is scary, but remember, there's just one thing. You won't have to listen to your grandson anymore.
Take me, Jesus.
Take me now.
Right, what about your grandfather dying?
No, I just want to say that day I was very, obviously I would be upset, and you guys were playing, and I just wanted to let you know that you did make my day better while you guys were on the air for that day.
Well, in all seriousness, that's the nicest thing that anyone can say to us when they're going through a rough spot, but unfortunately it just takes a lot of the wind out of our sails after this call.
It sure does.
Sorry, guys. You guys are great, though, and we love you here in Bakersfield, and would love to have you here sometime.
Well, I wish I was your grandfather. I really do. But I would be dead, and I wouldn't have to be taking this telephone call. What about Frida?
Frida wishes you were my grandfather, too.
Oh, God.
Come on, we knock it off.
Because she could get paid.
She could get paid.
Hey, tell you what, tell Frida. Give my Frida my number so when you do kick, maybe we can hook up.
Goodbye.
Later.
Bye. All right. He rebounded at the end.
He did. He did indeed.
He rebounded. Okay, timeout. We'll be right back.
This is the Joe.
Did you do this for Don and Mike?
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, let me tell you something about them little two-bit bitty whores, okay? Don and Mike, them and let me tell you, I met them at one of them baths over on Melrose when they were out in L.A. I was the loofah boy, and I just walked by, and I gave them a sponge and a small animal. And you know, what happens is you do radio, and D.C.'s a big, big market for me, you know, because I'm black.
Right.
And, you know, on the inside, trying to make bail. You only have that once, right? But you know, when you do the show, they go, can you do some IDs for us so everybody will think we're in? Yeah. And you do it because you know you have Les Moonves with CBS going, put you on UPN.
Okay, I thought you were tight with Don and Mike.
Oh, look, who could be tight with Don and Mike? You know what I mean? They're this, you know, this far away from, you know, repairing ham radios. You know, the guys have no talent. You know, they still don't understand why the Jets broke up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't mean the team. I mean the you know, the Polynesian band.
Right.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Was that a rerun last night, that Raymond show last night?
Yeah, they both were reruns last night.
I had not seen it before. It's a funny one, though.
What was it about?
Where Raymond's mother made him hire the cousin, who was just like Raymond.
Oh, the cousin. That's the most beautiful casting in the world.
Yes,
because the cousin looks like the nerd version of Raymond.
Yeah, looked like it, talked the same way, annoying, just like Raymond.
That's great.
Excellent. Listen, we have Wacky Story File coming up. Some guys suing Don Rickles.
Oh, no.
Also a story about drunk midgets. Also some
dwarves,
guys.
Dwarves.
Nope, the headline says drunk midgets.
Drunk midgets. That's very un-PC.
Mm-hmm. Also, some guy has got a porno site about seafood.
Oh, yeah.
And if you want, we can do a thing about balls. Because some guy, we got balls in the news.
You know I'm always for that.
But, let me get to this first. The Cunny Lee Gifford in the new People magazine.
Very evil woman who just keeps getting more evil.
Now, this is the brand new one that has Julia Roberts on the cover.
Now, you don't like Julia Roberts.
I think Julia Roberts,
even like her in her new movie? Yeah, have you seen trailers in her new movie where she's got the cleavage?
She has the push-up bra now. She doesn't do it for me.
She's so sexy in that movie.
Not. So listen, the article about Kathy C. We can have our Julia Roberts debate another day.
Okay.
Cunny Lee Gifford leaves Regis for her family and countless projects close to her heart. And it's such a suck-ass article about her. I'm just going to read you a couple of things from the New People magazine. For instance, it says, the whispers about going braless on the air.
Oh,
and here's how Kathy Lee addresses that. Ridiculous! Exclamation point. It's extremely cold in our studio, so you could be wearing a steel harness and you'd still have a little action.
if you know what I mean.
Oh, God. See, she's a real dirty birdie when you cut right down to it.
I do not like industrial-strength push-up bras. I wear very flimsy things. Besides, what 46-year-old woman who's nursed two kids goes braless? Then, to prove her point, Gifford lifts her mohair sweater to her neck, revealing a sheer low-tech number, leaving little to the imagination. Just to show you, she says. Okay? So now, wait a minute. Hold on. There's a contradiction.
So is this a female that wrote the article?
No, it's a guy named Jim Jerome.
So Jim Jerome got a flash.
Right. And it sounds like she wasn't wearing a bra. I mean, as I read the answer here, she says she's wearing a bra, but she doesn't wear industrial things, strength push-up bras.
So what she's wearing is a see-through bra.
So she lifts up her shirt.
Leaving nothing to the imagination means it's a real sheer deal.
Revealing a sheer low-tech number, leaving little to the imagination.
That's right.
She shows her teeth to the guy from People Magazine.
Through obviously some sort of low-tech, maybe lacy, frilly.
See-through.
Why? Now see, now I'm just getting like you. I'm thinking about what if we were there.
Right. I mean, she's got nice ones. She has nice teeth. There's
like
no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Then the story goes on to talk about her TV movie with Cody. Her clothing line. Now, here, hold on. Here we go. I want to get to the part about the TV show. Why she quit the Regis show.
Huh. Okay.
She says, quote, "I am bored with it all." Meaning the TV show.
Of course you are, Diva Kathy Lee.
"I am bored with it all, except for the host chat," says Gifford with a sigh. "I never got tired of being with Regis. I'll miss him." Now, don't believe that, because she's going to torpedo Regis later in this article.
Yeah, of course she is.
She adds that a liberating 9-month burst of creative energy, writing lyrics and recording a CD, making a movie, doing a cabaret gig, led to a dead end at Live. Okay, let's rehash this realistically.
Yeah, let's look at her commercial success outside of that show.
Writing lyrics and recording a CD. Okay, you know what record label she's on? She's on Cunny Records. She's on
her own label.
Her own label.
Right.
Where she's going to print out this crappy CD and sell it via infomercial.
And give it away on her show.
You're not going to be able to go to Tower or go to Sam Goody and buy a Kathy Lee Gifford record, because there's no record label that will sign her.
Right.
Okay, second, let's talk about making a movie. Okay, it wasn't a movie. It was a 2-hour TV show on the Wonderful World of Disney.
Mm-hmm.
In which she appeared.
Is this the thing that she did? This is the thing that was Sunday night that she's talking about?
Right. Yeah,
that's her creative burst of energy.
Right, doing
that, that foul, like not as good as an ABC after school special.
Right, a movie.
Oh, God.
And a cabaret gig. Okay, that is where she sang one night at a club in New York.
Yeah.
All of that led her to be bored on her TV show with Regis.
Sure.
She says, "It was thrilling," she says of a renaissance. "A joy I'd long forgotten was still possible."
Well, I think if we, let's read between the lines here. Kathy Lee is just so darned talented that she needed this this release, because she just wasn't getting enough of her phenomenal talent out to the public.
The show, and here we go. She goes starring Regis now. "The show with Regis Philbin had become," she says, quote, now I'm going to quote her here, "a formula. Predictable. I'd get to where my goal every day was. How fast can I get the audience to laugh? 2 seconds? 3 seconds?
Oh, because she's just so darn funny.
So funny.
That's what I would live for.
Oh, God.
I was just amusing myself. About a year ago, I was interviewing Lily Tomlin for probably the 10th time and thinking, I don't want to do this one more time.
I'm sure Lily Tomlin feels real nice about that. That's really nice. You know, that's where she's either so stupid or that evilness is a little more severe than we think.
I think she's stupid.
I think she's stupid. I really do, too. Yeah, Lily Tomlin, Lily Tomlin, who has made us laugh in the past, legitimately, not like Kathy Lee.
Yeah, Kathy Lee, that audience never laughs at Kathy Lee.
Right.
They laugh because there are a bunch of blue-haired elderly people who were let out of the retirement camp for one day to take a bus into the city, and they're laughing because they all have to go to the bathroom. That's why they're not laughing, because she's funny. And that pisses me off.
And what does that say, really, to the respect that she has for her work in general, when she's saying, I was doing it to make myself laugh.
How fast can I get an audience to laugh?
Yeah, I'm doing it because I'm just so bored.
That's what I would live for. I was just amusing myself.
Because I'm too big a star. That's what she's really saying. I'm too big a star for this show.
I like to point out, this is not like one of those tabloid things we're reading. This is in People freaking magazine. So then here we go. Now she's going to get on a high horse about Cody and Cassidy.
Okay.
Says she's suing American Media Incorporated, the company that owns The Enquirer and The Star, for a recent article in The Enquirer in which Cody was called a monster. You remember, that was a great story. We read that on
That's
the
right.
show.
Yep.
And we called some of the restaurants and clothing stores where they said Cody was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Says Kathy Lee Gifford, people say you put your children out there, but these stories are libelous, patently untrue. If we don't make a stand now and put an end to this, there is no end to the distress in the future for my children. Now, let me tell you something, honey. The end of the future distress for your children is for you to stop putting them in TV movies.
Right. Absolutely.
That's the end of the distress for your children.
Sure. I mean, and obviously what she wants for Cody, she wants him. Anytime you have a child actor, I don't care what willingness the child shows, you have a stage mother behind them to push them into this, and you've got somebody, you know, she obviously wants Cody to be an actor. Right. That's what she wants.
Now, here is what the attorney for the examiner says, and his statement's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, Cody is a public figure in his own right. Kathy Lee has caused public interest in his life by how often she talks about him on the show. Our story is solidly sourced.
There you go.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, hey, where's that tape we have of Giff saying that that Cody is a public person?
He's a public figure. Yeah.
We have a tape. We should send this tape to the National Enquirer.
Absolutely.
Listen to this. Here's old man Giff himself saying that Cody's a public person.
Frank, was there any trepidation on your part to a little concern about a lot of people don't want to talk about their children publicly?
Yeah, a little bit. I must say that, Larry. Cody's a very public person. You can't really hide your family. We don't intend to do that. He is a very...
Get back in your coffin.
There he is. He's a very public person. You know, that would be if they had that.
Yeah.
That's it right there.
That's on the Larry King Show.
If she can't have it both ways, it can't happen.
Right. Speaking of Giff, now here she goes. Here she goes with Giff banging that stewardess.
She starts,
you know,
again, huh?
This poor bastard. He cannot, you know, I don't condone anybody banging someone else who's not their wife or their husband. But, you know, the guy made a mistake. Let him go.
Oh, she's this
Stop
is torture.
It.
This will be torture until the day he
and
dies.
This is not regular humiliation like behind closed doors. This is in People friggin' magazine. How many years later is this? 3 years now since he banged the stewardess?
At least two.
One of the most sensational tabloid accounts involving her family had nothing to do with the children. Kathy Lee now admits that Frank's 1997 rendezvous with Susan Johnson very nearly ripped the family apart. The tryst occurred in a Manhattan hotel, blah, blah, blah. You know this, that the Globe was behind it. Kathy Lee, wiping away tears, says it was horrendous, devastating. Frank didn't tell me the truth. You expect to be heartbroken by your enemies, not by the person you trust the most, love the deepest.
See, she's still punishing him because that's the type of person she is.
The poor bastard has suffered enough.
You know, if they're together, you know, at this point, she probably says to the interviewer, you know, let's not go into that. That's covered ground. Oh, not this lady. No.
Frank, just 5 months short of 70. Poor bastard. The poor bastard.
Oh, why doesn't she let me just die?
Oh,
oh my God.
Oh, Kevin. Frank Gifford, you get back in that glass coffin. Frank Gifford, remarkably fit in snug jeans and a sweatshirt, is pain to recall any of it. But now, here's Giff's account.
This is sad. You know, we're laughing, but it is so sad that he has to deal with her.
This is like picking on a scab.
This is the football legend angrily.
So he's sitting next to her while they bring this
up? He's having to interview. He's having to be
a guy. If he's not pushing 70, he's not there.
He's having to be interviewed by this guy from People magazine who's already seen Kathy Lee's boobs.
Come on, Frank. Remember the great heyday.
I did something really stupid, and we've paid an enormous price. I love Kathy very much. It's a blip in my life, a blip in hers, a major blip in yours, and the people in the press. I'm just sick of it.
Did Kathy Lee have trouble forgiving? And
And then here's her quote.
You know, it's not, all right, so they're being interviewed together during this. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's not going to jump in and say, all right, that's enough. You know,
she's letting him.
She's letting him continue.
She's letting him bleed.
And meanwhile, he's not going to say, that's enough of that.
No, he's got to, you know.
He's got to eat it.
This poor guy, you know, you might as well be Catholic. This guy's paying for his sin over and over and over again. At what point is there enough retribution for this poor guy?
Not for her. Never. She wants it. She's loving it, I'm sure.
Did Kathy Lee have trouble forgiving?
I would have been the lowest human being on the face of the earth not to forgive, she says. When you love someone and see them in the deepest pain, you kick them when they're down? That's not love.
This is the same woman. Didn't she sing Your Lion Eyes?
Yes, she did.
At a concert where he was sitting there and, like, stare right at him?
For a year, Gifford focused on holding her family together. She and Frank tried couples counseling. And
listen to the softball. Sorry, I hate to interrupt you there. But listen to the softball piece. This is somebody that is inside of her butt like you wouldn't believe. She held her family. She concentrated on holding her family together.
She and Frank tried couples counseling and both still attend individually. Imagine what that must be like.
Oh boy! I tell you, no, hey,
how'd you like to
him?
Be his therapist?
Hey, good for him though. I'm glad it's individual. I mean, at least he gets some solace.
Every night I go to bed and I say, "Please God, take me now."
No, there's no need for that, Mr. Gifford.
Another day with that bitch,
Frank.
Have you seen People Magazine?
Let it go. I saw it, Frank. I understand.
Y.A. Tittle called me a pussy today.
Let it go, Frank. Let it go. Let it all out, Frank.
Sam Huff called me and said, "How can you be pushed around like that?"
I understand, Frank.
You're one of the greatest players in the history of the NFL. You banged a stewardess.
That's why we're here, Frank.
Please, God, take me now.
No, Frank,
me now.
We've had this suicide discussions before, Frank. You've got to hang in there.
I'm going to kill myself this weekend.
No, Frank.
I'm going to kill myself.
There's no need.
I'm going to take the People magazine and stuff it in the tailpipe of my car.
There's no need to. Frank, please, please. You see, there's a lot. You have a lot to live for. You have a lot to live for.
I've got nothing to live for.
Yes, you've got your children.
She's not
Frank.
On the show now. You're going to be at home every day.
Hey, no.
Every
Frank,
day with me.
Please, there's no. You don't need.
See what you've done to Cody?
You don't need
she's
to talk about
on that show.
Killing yourself, Mr. Gifford.
I want to die.
No.
I want to die.
Okay, we're out of time. Just come back at the same time next week. We'll talk more about these thoughts of suicide you have about her.
All right, now here we go. Here's another quote from Kathy Lee about how tough this was for her.
I was busy just dealing with my dignity every day. It was survival. Circle the wagons time. I know how crushed Frank was and didn't want to hurt him in public. I can't describe the depth of his pain, being so stupid and coming so close to losing everything that really matters.
Oh, God.
For 1 hour of really lousy sex is really dumb, and he knows it.
Oh, God, and he's just sitting there.
What a bitch she is.
Oh, God.
All right, then she says, to this day, insists Kathy Lee, Cody and Cassidy never knew of the strain between their parents at home.
Nothing. They never saw us argue, never saw an angry moment. They never saw Daddy leave.
Well, that's great. None of them will ever see this People magazine article.
Of course not.
You know, just as a way to make sure.
Sure.
You know, that they'll find out. Right. Have some more printed record about
right,
it.
Exactly.
Let me see.
It's called Back Issues.
Gifford thought about leaving himself, then reconsidered.
It wasn't me that's going to leave.
And he refused to leave, too. That's what she says. He said, I love you. I love this family. We're going to get through this.
To do so meant reinforcing deep bonds of trust and intimacy. And says Gifford, falling in love again.
Oh, God.
There's no magic formula. We stayed home. We stayed in the Word of God. We stayed in bed. I'm being very specific. It's the best thing in the world when somebody's truly asked forgiveness. Because each time you make love, that person feels forgiven, and you feel restored and loved again. Let me just smile and say I have no complaints.
Oh, good.
Gifford says...
That's why she was in the position she wanted to be.
Right. Gifford says her husband is...
a transformed man. He's become more sensitive to my feelings.
He's pushing 70. It might not be as hard to be a transformed man.
And he knows how capable he is of hurting me. How damaging his actions and words can be to me. Our marriage will never be the same, but it doesn't mean it can be better.
Oh, God.
Jeez, this poor guy. Now,
let the guy alone.
All right, now that she has spent a whole page and a half reliving this whole thing with Gif, here she goes on to Regis Philbin.
He's just sitting next to her like he does all the time.
Right,
you know,
now,
quietly.
Now, he's the real guy that she hates. Regis is the real guy she hates. She's jealous of his success on the Millionaire Show.
Well, that's why she quit.
Okay, now, moving on.
Gifford won total support from her friends and loved ones, especially Frank.
All of us realized she'd really had it on the show. It was building up to a crescendo.
Crescendo.
15 years of getting up before the sun will do it.
And now here you go. Here we go. Regis Philbin, who's red hot, who wants to be a millionaire, Kathy Lee claims to have watched only once.
There you go.
Tried to get her to stay when she told him of her decision a couple of weeks ago.
I don't believe that for a second.
Well, and the first, why would you mention, I've only seen Who Wants to Be a Millionaire
because,
once?
Because you're evil.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He said, now she's talking about Regis. He said, sign for another year. Suck it up. Let's not rock the boat. We've got a good thing going. That's Regis, a peacemaker. He doesn't like conflict or change. And the night before her announcement, she called Regis with her final answer. He said, you got to do what you got to do. And now here's where she sticks it to Regis. For her part, Gifford says her 68-year-old colleague's game show grind concerns her.
She loves the men pushing 70, doesn't
guess
she?
So.
That's, you know, she can exercise the most power around mm-hmm. those guys.
He's keeping a schedule that worries me. He comes in some mornings and I just know he's not there. We can both do this in our sleep. That's the bad part. Our audience deserves better.
Oh, God.
I worry because I love him.
Oh, man.
He's tired.
Oh, God. Oh, she is so rotten. She is rotten to the core.
She is the worst. And then you get all the way down to the last part of the article. And then it's more bull-ass. I mean, we've never had Adam Sandler on our show, but if we ever have Adam Sandler, I'm going to ask him about this. She says to the guy from People magazine that Cody was chosen to play the boy in Adam Sandler's movie Big Daddy.
Right.
Until Kathy Lee read the script.
There you go.
And then she said, she told her agent to tell Adam Sandler that Cody pees at home, not on walls.
Mm-hmm. Please. No.
Yeah, I'm right. I'm sure Adam Sandler chose Cody Gifford to be his son in the movie Big Daddy.
Oh, man. I just, so much. It's so thick. It's so thick. Right. And does she think anybody's, that she's passing this off on any of us?
And then yeah. the last line of the article is the one that sickens me the most. After she spends this whole article bad-mouthing GIF, bad-mouthing the TV show, bad-mouthing Regis, talking about how she's so friggin' talented that mm-hmm. she's just going through the motions because she's so funny, she makes
she
an audience
more.
Laugh.
She needs
yeah.
more.
Mm-hmm. She's got to sing, she's got to perform, she's got to make movies. The last thing she says is, the show's been amazing to me. I'd love it if they asked me to come back when the new co-host goes on vacation.
Yeah, because she needs it, right? She's covering all her bases.
Don't count on that, you bitch.
She was full of crap when she talked about what she was talking about.
The day you walk out is the day that they will have the biggest fall down, get drunk, have an orgy, and screw everybody you see party that they've ever had.
Oh, you bet they're happy.
And that's the day they change the lock. That's the day they change the PIN numbers
sure.
to get into the building. See you later. Goodbye forever. That's the day they put your face on a picture that says, this woman is not to be allowed back in the building.
So long, Kathy Lee. Don't come back. We don't want.
Well, you know, I feel bad for Gif.
Yeah, Gif's sitting there on the sofa next door.
Mm. That poor bastard.
Eating an S sandwich like he has for the last 2 years. Just sitting there going, this is real tasty you're doing, Jeff.
I feel bad for Regis.
God, she's got the recipe for that down cold, doesn't she?
I feel real bad for Cody.
Sure.
I feel bad for Adam Sandler.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for everybody.
It's amazing.
What a B.I.H.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely okay. amazing.
Well, there she is. Now, when we come back, we're going to call a guy who is... Let me see, he's suing Don Rickles.
Oh, that's horrible. That's blasphemy.
Foul-mouthed Rickles hurled racist insults at me. The shocking lawsuit, and we will call the man right after this.
Oh, my God, you hockey puck.
Be right back. It's time for a station break in Rochester, New York. You're hearing us on WHTK in Lafayette, Louisiana, KVOL, FM and AM. And in Greenville, South Carolina, 98.1 WPEK.
Be good, or they'll put you in a sack and take you to Spain. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, now listen, we just played a commercial for the show in Wichita, which is Friday.
Yes.
And once and for all, I just want to put all the crap behind us and try to get a better attitude
mm-hmm.
about going to Wichita, that the people from CBS contacted the people from KFH in Wichita.
Checked everything out.
They've come to an agreement about what the show is going to be about when we do a live show there. The people from KFH are going to be stand-up guys about it.
So good.
We should just not even talk about it anymore.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
Amen.
The only thing we should talk about is the fact that we're coming out, we're going to do a great show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because all of the crap that's happened has just been crap between us and the management of the radio station and today the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with the people to this show.
Not at all.
Or the people, it has little to do with the people that call this show.
Yes.
But absolutely nothing to do with the people who listen to this show.
People that have been calling from Wichita, by and large, excited about the fact that we're coming out there, and we're excited too. It's going to be a lot of fun. It really is, believe it or not, when we get out there, I know we've said a lot of things about Wichita. Let me tell you something. When we go out to a market we've never been to do a Las Vegas style show.
We've been there before, though.
Well, have we done a Las Vegas style show?
No, but we've been to Wichita.
I know we've been there before, that real hot day.
We've been there twice, haven't we?
I'm trying to be positive here. I'm really trying to be positive.
Sorry, I forgot.
It's very exciting when we do the Las Vegas style show where we haven't done it before in another city because, it's a bigger deal.
Right.
It really is.
That's true. And the people at KFH have been read the riot act by our parent company, CBS.
Good.
So everything's cool. We're coming. And frankly, I don't care to hear anymore if the police are coming or if they're writing about us in the newspaper.
If the police are coming, it does not matter because we are going to have a great show. And there's nothing that is going to anger the police at this show. It's going to be great.
You know, and I've just been pissed off yesterday and pissed off today and pissed off last week about the way that they, again, it's just the people at the station that I'm pissed off.
Well, we've had two conversations with people there, and both conversations, they weren't like the normal conversations we have with affiliates, where there's a great deal of hand-holding and placating.
Yes.
And, they were just kind of like, well,
I'm sorry, we're big babies.
We are big babies. We need positive reinforcement constantly, especially when we're traveling halfway across the country to come out there and do a show.
We need to suckle the teeth of radio station KFH and then come up with a dry hole.
Yes.
There's no milk coming out of that teeth.
But that's okay.
That's fine.
We're going. We're going to Wichita.
Friday. And that's it.
We're not going. We're coming.
No more bitching. No more complaining. I don't care what they write in the newspaper.
Right.
I want you to insulate us from the newspapers. I don't want to know. Really don't want to know. Until
the next story is written.
Yeah. Until tomorrow. Until we're on the front page of the newspaper again tomorrow.
Right now, we are definitely into it. We are super into it, and I don't see that changing.
I'm glad they worked it out. I'm really glad that the people, that the Muckety Mucks at CBS called them up, and we did come to an understanding about what's expected at the show, what we're going to do at the show, and they understand that, which was the biggest concern that we had had.
Thank you, Jeremy.
So, okay. Done and done. Yeah. He's the Muckety Muck who handled it.
Okay.
Cross your fingers, Mike.
Right on.
Acid-tongued comic Don Rickles Barbs.
Oh, no.
May finally come back to bite him, says this story I'm going to read to you now.
Oh, this is a shame.
A black security guard at the Beverly Hills Hotel has filed a lawsuit against Don Rickles, accusing him of hurling racial insults and hitting him in the head. Lee Lark says he was shocked and humiliated after the encounter. He claims just before the confrontation, he saw Don Rickles strike a black hotel patron in the face and shout racial insults at him.
This is while he's not on stage.
Right, he's walking through the hotel.
This is the real Rickles here.
Yeah. Don Rickles is known. I'm kind of laughed at that because it sounds so ridiculous. Don Rickles would just strike a black man in the face and shout racial insults at him.
Let's hear the entire story here.
Rickles is known for his abrasive style. He often calls people hockey pucks.
Yeah.
Lark claims he was standing in the hotel's lobby doing his job when he noticed Don Rickles speaking to another hotel patron in an offensive manner. The suit alleges that Don Rickles told the man he was surprised that blacks were allowed in the hotel, and that Don Rickles lunged towards the man and struck him in the face.
Now, it sounds to me like that would be part of his act if he was saying something like that.
Right. According to the lawsuit, Rickles came after the guard and yelled at him, "What makes him think I like black guys?" Then, according to the lawsuit, Don Rickles hit Lark on the right side of his head and right ear.
Don Rickles is smacking everybody.
Hmm. Lark says he told Rickles, "Don't ever do that again." And Rickles replied, "So what if I do?" Lark filed the suit in L.A. Superior Court for unspecified damages, saying he'd suffered physical and mental blah, blah, blah pain. Let's call this security guard.
Let's find out what's going on. You know, I'm wondering, a lot of these guys, they work till they're long in the tooth. You know, sometimes there's a little truth to these outbursts. You never know.
I don't know.
You never know.
If you guys are looking for some money. I don't doubt that Don Rickles said the joke about, do they let black people in this hotel.
Good afternoon, the Beverly Hills Hotel. This is Dee. How may I assist you?
Yes, hello, Dee. Lee Lark, please.
Thank you. One moment, please.
You are on the air with the Don and Mike radio show.
You know, the show, and I've seen his show a couple of times. I mean, he does, for a while there, he toned down that kind of content, and then he brought it back into his show. Mm-hmm. And there is racial content in his show.
Sure.
Lee? She hung up?
Sounds like you got disconnected.
If you'd like to make a call, please...
He always, you know, the thing that he did when he was toning it down, he'd insult somebody, and then he'd come back with, you know, but I love, ladies and gentlemen,
I don't like about Don Rickles, when he would come back and qualify after saying something.
When he insulted everybody.
Right, you know.
Good afternoon from the Reverend Tony Messerschmitt.
You're on the air, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Yes, Lee Lark, please.
Thank you, one, please.
Let's listen to the fine classical music.
What was the last name once more?
Lark. He works in your hotel.
In which department?
Security.
Thank you, ma'am, please.
Big hotel.
Mm-hmm. Security department, Ryan Randall.
Yes, is Lee there, please?
Who?
Lee Lark.
He's not in right now. Would you like me to try and see his voicemail?
Yeah, hey, listen, maybe you can talk to us for a second. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the radio right now doing a national radio show.
How you doing today?
I'm going to have to transfer you to our director of public relations, okay? Would that be good?
Well, sure. I mean, if you want to do that, that's
okay,
fine.
Okay, 1 second. I'm going to put you on hold.
That's what I do on a radio show, is the kiss of death, and you have to tell somebody they're on the air.
Yep.
I mean, the guy would have spilled his guts if we didn't have to tell him he was on the air.
Oh, let me tell you about what Rickles did. Came down in the lobby, no pants. Moaning everybody.
Fully aroused.
Just, racial slurs coming out of his mouth.
Left and right.
Mile a minute. And he started smacking people. Everybody. Men, women, children.
Defecated on a small boy.
It was the most amazing thing we've ever seen.
And then he started J-O-ing
in the middle of the lobby until the security guards brought him along. And then he hit the security guard. Only the black guy hit him in the head.
Now we're never going to get through.
Now
we're just being put on hold forever.
But what I was going to say is the only thing that... Don't you hear sometimes about older guys that have gotten a little feebed out, they forget to be PC, and they do some things that are a little out of line. You know, things that may have been funny.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Sorry, guys. Nobody's available to talk right now. You might want to try back later.
Is it no way you'd just talk to us about this?
There's no
lawsuit?
Sorry, I can't.
All right.
Were you there when Don Rickles was in the hotel?
F you, thank you.
F you, F ball.
Okay.
All right. Well,
then we can only assume it's true.
Okay. Then let me go one more story real fast.
Okay.
One more story real fast. Drunk midgets destroyed Pinocchio premiere.
What was that one again?
Drunk midgets destroy Pinocchio premiere.
Say that 10 times fast.
Walt Disney's classic cartoon Pinocchio has just been released on video. Although the film is considered to be Disney's finest work, its 1940 New York premiere ranks as the most embarrassing event in Disney history, thanks to 11 drunk midgets. Disney hired 11 midgets to dress up as Pinocchios and wave to children from the rooftop.
Hello!
But the midgets started drinking.
All right.
Then took off all their clothes. And soon began shouting obscenities at children.
Oh, no.
Things got so out of hand that cops had to climb to the theater roof and haul the drunken, naked midgets into custody by stuffing them into pillowcases.
Come on, it's got to be as bad as this is true.
The midget scandal caused a ruckus, but the controversy didn't sell tickets. Pinocchio was a bomb on its initial release. Let's call the guy who has this story.
Let me out of this bag. F you. Let me out of this pillowcase. Hey, ho. F you.
Hey, kid. Drunk midgets destroyed Pinocchio premiere. Scouring the globe to bring you these stories. We're calling Stephen Schnocket.
Get me out of this pillowcase, you F-head. God, am I drunk. Hey, look at this. Take a look at this Pinocchio. This isn't his nose, but it's growing.
Stephen Schnocket at 31.
Okay. Let me take his phone number out.
74. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Hey, we're drunk. Man, oh man, we're having such a great time right now. Oh boy. Hey, don't put us in a pillowcase. F you.
F you, F-ball.
F you, come on.
Hey, kids, look at my genitals.
Yeah, we're drunk midgets ruining the Pinocchio premiere.
We're midgets, but we have regular sized genitals.
Pretty amazing, isn't it? it? We, Pinocchio sucks. F you. Oh, here come the cops. They got pillowcases. Stop, stop. F Disney. Kick him in the shins. Walt's a fag. All right, boy.
Walt's a Nazi.
We hate Disney. Disney sucks.
Steven. Hello, it's the Don and Mike Radio Show.
We are not really little people.
Hi, we're calling about your story about the drunk midgets who got naked and started shouting obscenity at the children during the 1940 premiere of the movie Pinocchio.
We must speak with you about this.
We must. We love it. We hate Disney.
Yes.
We love midgets.
Mm-hmm.
We love nudity.
Absolutely.
So, listen, we'll call back.
So long. F you.
Message sent. Goodbye.
All right, goodbye.
It's a shame. I was hoping we could hear that one.
I was too.
Yeah, what's this? You know, normally these messages, you get to play them back. Not anymore.
No, not today.
Oh, man, that's a real drag. Hey, I think I'll moon them. Hey!
Well, you know, at some point this week, we'll come back to both of those stories. We'll try to give you some closure on that.
Get me out of this pillowcase. I'm going to go number two in it.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
What is your lead story on the news in the comments tonight?
Tonight, a rampaging tiger on the loose in Poland.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Right. That's good. That's good. Polacks, beware. Stay tuned.
For news and comments
coming up on
the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
professional.
I guess I'm perfectly calm.
Rubbing your forearms.
I'm perfectly calm. And the flight to Wichita is still 2 days away.
Mm-hmm. That's 2 days. It's going to be fine. It's 2 days, two legs. Two legs. One, two.
Okay, just get there.
I know, we fly. Well, you can't just fly to Wichita from here.
Do it. No.
We got to go to Dallas or somewhere first, don't we?
Atlanta.
Right? Oh, we got to go to Atlanta first.
Atlanta and then St. Louis on the way back.
Hair dryer. Fig bomb. Backpack.
Mm-hmm. But not an act of God.
Nope. But a grandmother got to this thing first, picking up what she thought was her grandson's backpack on the conveyor belt.
Bless her heart.
The fake bomb ended up on a flight to California. Its discovery forced that plane to return to Seattle for an emergency.
Why should I be happy about the environment?
There she is.
Returned to Seattle for an emergency landing. Alaska Airlines says it wants to know in writing from now on how this kind of thing will be avoided in the future.
Wow.
Alaska Airlines again.
Yes.
Right, gotcha. Yeah,
this time. They were the victim.
That's a good one to pick on, too. You know, you would think.
Yeah, it's
kind of...
they just had that plane crash.
Kind of unusual that they would pick that one to mess with.
It isn't it?
And no way we're taking Alaska to Wichita. The parents of JonBenet Ramsey say they're willing to take a lie detector test, something they say the police never officially asked them to do in the days following the murder. They say they did not kill their six-year-old daughter. They say the killer, they believe, was a pedophile intruder who's still out there somewhere.
Nobody! Who is
Nero? Nobody! He set off the JonBenet alarm, Buzz.
I can't do anything right.
This is me when I was a child.
Yes.
And my JonBenet-like parents pushed me into show business. Like Kathy Lee and Cody.
That's right.
You should see the video that goes with this. Mike wearing the sequined outfit.
And the cowboy hat with the six shooters.
Who's the dirt?
All the makeup he has on.
In this wonderful world.
Rouge. Eyeshadow. Lip gloss. But this is a good note.
Captain of villainy.
Murder and loot.
Murder and loot.
Eager to kill any.
Eager to kill any.
You say that my hook isn't cute.
Say that my hook isn't cute.
It's cute. And then I do a nice little laugh. There we go.
Very nice, JonBenet.
Thank you so much.
JB.
JonBenet's parents also say that because of all this, because of the suspicion, the two of them, actually considered suicide at one point.
Is it me, or is anybody suspicious of the fact that these people have to go on national television? You would think that after this tragedy, normal parents, I know if anything happened to my kids, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near a camera. I wouldn't want to talk to anybody.
You know, the first
I wouldn't give a good goddamn if people thought that I did it, because I would be so devastated, it wouldn't matter to me.
The first appearance they're doing is with a frog.
Right, Larry.
They're going on the Frog Show, where they're going to take telephone calls, and then they're going on Barbara Walters' show.
Right.
Don't you feel the same way, that if anything ever happened to your kid...
Oh, God forbid.
I would not. It just wouldn't... Nothing would really matter. It wouldn't matter.
Hi, I'm here with the Ramses. Tell me something.
What did you have for breakfast?
The day that JonBenet was killed, what were you enjoying for breakfast? More than lunch.
Marty and I love to have a delicious breakfast.
When you had all the police officers in your home, tell me something. Did you have to cook breakfast for them?
Don and Mike wouldn't read my book because it requires intelligence. Ramseys say all this in their interview with Barbara Walters for Friday's 2020. That's where these excerpts come from.
He's coming to my show Thursday. Well, that's the Ramseys, what they had.
They say they want to clear up the umbrella of suspicion that still hangs over them. They did the interview without lawyers or PR people present. And
hi, Patsy. Thanks for coming. Did they give you a nice lunch?
And there were no ground rules. The Ramseys are promoting a book they have written. And
okay, there you go.
Unbelievable. I mean, right there, it makes no sense to me how parents could even, I don't care what their motivation
is. The new bestseller, Our Daughter is Dead.
Unreal.
In the book, they put forth their own theories about what happened to their daughter.
Well, I don't want to cast any aspersions. I just want to say,
this is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
Where was he at the time of the murder?
That poor man.
That's all I want to say.
Will you ever leave him alone?
Time out, Buzz. We'll be right back.
This is the dumbest ever of Buster Clock, the Don and Mike Show.
You know, and for the record, I stand by my original assessment of Analyze This. Although there are parts that I like, I can't get past the part where De Niro is crying when they're in the bar. Ruins the whole experience for me.
It ruins the movie for you, and I laughed out loud when he was crying in the bar.
I hate it.
I like to see, you know why I like to see De Niro cry? Because of the contortions that he puts his face through when he's going, it's the same thing when he laughs.
So fake, though.
I know it was.
So phony.
It's horrible. Come back. I'm tired of you.
I've even come around a little bit on the scene at the end when Billy Crystal says, I am here as Mr. Vito's consigliere, and then Jelly says, consigliere, and he slaps him. I've come around on that. That's a funny scene.
Do you know that I've watched that movie probably 6 or 7 times, and that I always fall asleep before that part? I have never seen that
part. You've never seen the end?
I have never seen the very end of Analyze This. For whatever reason, the movie lulls me to sleep. The movie has the same magical effect that the X-Files used to have on me, where I just go off to dream. I could be 2 in the afternoon, it could be 12 midnight, it wouldn't matter. I go to sleep when I watch Analyze This.
I could endorse Analyze This if it didn't have the crying with the neurons. That's the one part I don't like. But you're very good, you.
You. You. You're very good, you.
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 You. You're very good, you.
You.
You. You're very good, you. You. You're very good, you.
You got a gift, my friend.
Mr. Sheriff, I'm really sorry to have awoken you from your slumber, but it's over. Hands are tied now. You shut me down.
I offered you a chance when we could have done something, and you blew it!
You blew it!
You blew it.
I'll tell you this, De Niro. You're very good, you.
You're very good, you.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Effeminate movie critic Rex Reed pleaded not guilty today.
Is that how he's identified?
Yes, effeminate movie critic Rex Reed. Hereafter,
I did not steal that CD.
I was very absent-minded, and I put it in my coat.
Right. That's his story, and he's sticking to it. He pleaded not guilty today to charges that he tried to shoplift 3 CDs from the Tower Records in Manhattan. The 61-year-old was spotted last month by a store security guard putting the CDs in his jacket pocket and trying to leave without paying.
I played no contest.
Reed says he put the CDs in his pocket absent-mindedly, as Mike said. And he,
temporary insanity.
He says he did intend to pay for the Mel Torme, the Peggy Lee, and the Carmen McRae he picked up.
They're super.
Prosecutors today offered to let Reed plead guilty to disorderly conduct if he would agree to a one-day counseling program on shoplifting.
Disorderly conduct. I think he turned a few racks of CDs over. And
thank God they didn't find the DVD player I had my anus.
Quoting Reed, if I go to shoplifting class, fine, I'll review their movie, but I'm not going to plead guilty.
Never, never, never. Insanity.
In Maryland, 7 sixth graders have been arrested for making a false accusation against a teacher. The 6 girls and 1 boy said the male teacher watched the girls undress and fondled one of them. The students have each been suspended from the school for 10 days. Under Maryland law, the punishment can be tailored for juveniles charged with making false statements to police. Adults can be fined $500 or spend 6 months in jail.
How do they know the kids are making it up?
The kids recanted their story. All of the kids recanted all or part of the story that they had concocted. They were upset with this teacher for ridiculing them in front of everyone else.
Man.
That's how it got started.
It sounds like one of those Hollywood pictures.
It does.
All right, dudes, I got it. Now, listen, this is Cody Gifford talking to you right now. Hey, I want to tell you something. That Mr. Burbank, he's bogus. I'm like telling us to do that work. He's bogus. So here's what we're going to say. We're going to say that he went in and he watched all the little girls take their clothes off, Mom.
Mr. Burbank, you're on dangerous ground here. You see, this is my time.
Right, Mr. Hahn.
That's right, I'm Mr. Hahn. Mr. Geronimo, you're on dangerous ground here.
Call me Mr. Gifford.
Gee, Mr. Gifford, I don't know. I like that. I'll put that on the board for everyone to see. I don't know.
All right.
I think you know where the front office is.
You dick!
Well, despite the cast...
Cody Gifford is Jeff Spicoli.
In the remake. The remake of Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
It'll happen.
Despite the campaign against it, college students are binge drinking just as much as they did when the campaign started 10 years ago.
In fact, the percentage of college students binging
right.
actually up. Binge drinking is defined as a man who downs at least 5 drinks in a row on at least one occasion in the past 2 weeks. Or a woman who had at least 4 drinks in a row. For what it's worth, the number of non-drinkers on campus...
There she is.
A binger,
4 drinks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
For what it's worth, the number of non-drinkers on campus is also up from 15 to 19%.
Oh, no, we don't need to do that.
Tomorrow, I'm doing the break pass. Let you know what happens. Wendell, thank you. Thank you very much.
Very cool.
Wendell Hall.
Get the tapes ready.
Oh, come on. I'm not going to be dead.
Just to be, you know, you've done it before. You've had it up on here, on the thing.
Up on the ramps.
Up the ramps.
Up on the ramps. Tomorrow I'm going to replace the brake pads in my car.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to have any problem with the car being up on the ramps. It's just on the way to work that you're going to have a little dilemma, you know, when it's just a...
It feels like sponge when you put the... Because sometimes it works like that at the first stop sign, and it's only when you get it out on the open highway. Let's wait and see tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll be here alive. Three of the brake pads I've installed in the car. Myself.
Are you going to bring the bad brake pads in, the ones that don't work?
No. I mean, do you want me to?
Just to prove that you've done it, you know?
Oh, sure. Okay.
You know, just to show us your handiwork, like bring in the used parts.
You got it. No problem.
That's right.
No problem.
Cool. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz. I was just stopping for a second. You know, just stopping for a second. I'm realizing you guys really think I'm really going to kill myself tomorrow.
No.
By changing the brake pad.
Not at all. I just think there's always the potential for an accident.
Right.
I don't think death would result.
I don't think there'll be an accident.
Maybe paralysis.
But I think there's always a chance when you get on an airplane that something bad could happen.
There always is a chance.
Yes.
But I don't want to get on that airplane. I'm not setting up a thing that says pilot, you know. I'm doing it because I have to for my job.
Well, I have to. I have to change the brake pads in my car.
No, you don't. You can go to a nice man at a store that'll give you the right brake pads.
But I want to do it.
I know you do. It makes you feel
good. I want to do it.
Good luck.
Don't say I'm going to die.
You're not going to die.
No,
I don't think I don't think there's any chance in hell that you would die actually doing the procedure. You know,
you think driving to work with the brake pads I installed, though.
I frankly think of all the areas of an automobile that the amateur should stay away from, someone who doesn't know their way around an automobile, that is, the brakes would probably be the number one item that would be most dangerous.
Even someone who's successfully changed the oil?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
But, I mean, also, brake pads are, I would think, with the proper instructions. Have you already bought them?
Yeah, and I read the book.
Oh, you read the book?
Yeah. Good.
All right, I looked at the book.
You know me. I didn't read the book.
I looked forward.
I looked at the pictures.
That's good. Have you straightened out the headlight that was pointing up?
No. No. Yeah. No, I'm not.
Well, you'll know. I mean, you'll know. But, obviously, if you've read... Somewhat read the book, looked at the pictures.
I have looked at the pictures on how to install the brake pads.
That's important. I look forward to hearing about the whole. I think you'll be motivated with the new light. It's
yeah.
the service department.
Right on. I got to give me some coveralls, too.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Got to get some money coveralls.
Your name. Money metal coveralls.
A man who thinks he's married to Mariah Carey is the top suspect in some threats against local officials in Phoenix. 36-year-old Gabriel Espinosa has also been accused of stalking Madonna and Christina Applegate. He's reportedly sent all of them threatening cards and gifts
The cards included police codes for shootings and murder. Last month, he allegedly sent threatening postcards to the county's notoriously tough sheriff and to several local TV personalities.
I hate you all.
Now, all for the Indian reservations of New York State, business has never been so good.
Dear Doreen.
She's gotten those letters.
I love you, but I want to... 1024,
or whatever the code is.
Hey, did you read in the paper? Oh, let me get something else off my chest here, Buzz. Did you read in the paper today that thing about, Robbie, give me the post. The thing about Channel 7?
Yes, yeah. In fact, I have that here.
This is goddamn funny. Channel 7 on Sunday night.
I saw this.
After the practice.
Mm-hmm.
Channel 7 here in D.C., the ABC station, they went to... A visual.
Mm-hmm.
You know how ABC has the logo that looks like a school bus? It's yellow.
Yeah.
Okay. They went to a visual like that. It was yellow with like a black pot of gold in the middle, but it wasn't the real ABC logo. And it was obvious that during this, they were doing a voiceover. They were checking the microphones for the 11 o'clock news. So the voice that is heard is Dale Solly,
mm-hmm.
you know, that weekend anchor guy.
The guy that's very sincere.
And here's exactly what he said. This is a quote. A violent, mentally disturbed killer is still on the loose and applying for a management position. I'll give him his props.
I was shocked.
You know, because you know that that's what they say when they say, okay, give me the run-through on the guy from Baltimore who's on the loose killing people.
Right, sure. And he's just, you know, he knows he's not on the air, so he's just, you know, I think you always beware of any live microphone.
A violent, mentally disturbed killer is still on the loose and applying for a management position.
You know, when I look at that guy, Dale Solly, I think DJ. He must have DJ in his background.
Sure. Channel 7, after several phone calls, unable to respond.
Yeah, and you know the calls here again.
The guy just came on the news and said there's a guy that's like applying for a job, but he's mental.
That's great. How bad do you think Dale Solly's being yelled at today?
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah, they don't like that kind of thing over
what
there.
What were you thinking?
I'm sorry, sir.
What? Didn't you know you could be on the air at any time?
I didn't realize. I was just trying to be funny with the crew, the guys up in the booth. I just thought it would be funny. You know, please don't hurt me.
I hope somebody in the booth got yelled at, too.
Please.
For putting it on.
Yeah, it wasn't my fault. It was the studio technician, Mr. Stu Engstavelak.
We're sorry. His mic's on, Joe. His microphone's on. Oh, my God. He just made a joke about management.
I'm sorry, Charlie.
Yeah.
I screwed up again.
You did. All you care about is eating your chicken. Eat your barbecued chicken.
Here is Charles Broyhill, Carlos, our producer.
I did get confirmation that Dale Solly was a DJ.
Oh, he was.
Cool.
No surprise there, Charlie Broyhill.
Sure.
And if anybody has a tape of that faux pas...
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Love to hear that.
I might. I'll check.
Killer on the loose. Applying for a position of management.
I'm Dale Solly.
That's funny.
And he's the one guy... You know, for whatever reason, isn't he a noticeable anchor?
Yeah.
He's just one of those guys you notice.
You know, he thinks he's important.
He does.
And that's the main vibe that he gives off when he's doing the news.
Yes.
I'm reading you the news.
Sure.
Because I'm better than you.
Right.
And I'm going to do this move with my pencil up there. Down as I read you the news.
He's in the Morris Jones Club.
I'm going to be able to make eye contact with the weather guy and have real conversation with the sports guy.
That's right.
Because I'm Dale Solly, goddamn
it. You take Morris Jones and Dale Solly, use their heads for Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Be a lot of fun. It really would. There's only one MJ. Only one Morris Jones, Mike.
Yeah. And keep going with the fake turtlenecks. I love that look. Especially the red one.
For MJ?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah right. Big for time. Mojo. Mojo on the weekend news.
It makes really, I mean, his head's large to start with. He wears a, you know, a mock turtleneck, and it's red. He looks like he ought to be in the back of somebody's car, just bouncing up and down.
And you know that every night when they start the news on the weekend, he wants to start by going, good evening, it's 10 o'clock, I'm Morris Jones. I used to be the lead anchor. Now I'm on freaking Saturday night.
That's right. They replaced him with an older guy, slightly larger head.
The guy, the Ken doll guy.
Absolutely.
Yes. Mike Landis.
Right. I like that. I like that. That's a Hollywood-style newscast.
Mm-hmm. I'm Mike Landis. I'm going to talk to you like I really know what I'm saying. I'm Mike Landis.
I'm always going to have that frown on my face with my furrowed eyebrows.
Thank you. Thank you. That was interesting.
Very interesting. And here's something that's going to disturb you.
And now let's go to Will Thomas. Hi!
Hello.
I'm outside the U.S. Capitol,
And Jesus, what a mess we have out here tonight. I think I used to be a woman.
They don't watch Channel 5. This means bupkis to you.
We're talking about, you know, anchors and reporters in any city.
Buzz, hold on. I know you have real news. Let me do this, and we'll be right back. I promise. The next break?
Yeah.
We won't talk quite as much.
I'll tell you, we have it on good authority that Morris Jones loves it when we call him MJ.
He's right back. He's still on Hot Talk 1330 KFH.
And she was saying that she was 2 weeks pregnant. And I didn't believe it because when you're just two weeks pregnant, you can't really tell just because you haven't seen your menstruation.
What a horrible thing to say.
Let's go, girl.
Bill? Phil? It's the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Bazito.
Hi, Don and Mike. Over the Indian reservations of New York State, business has never been so good. The white man is flocking to those reservations for cheap gas and cheap cigarettes.
Ah, the white man.
Elsewhere in New York, gas is averaging $1.59 a gallon, like in much of the rest of the country. But on the reservation, $1.29.
No, more than that. I got news for you today. I was driving in Bethesda, Maryland.
Yeah.
Gas.
Yes.
On River Road.
Uh-huh.
$2.23 a gallon.
$2.23
for super unleaded.
Unbelievable.
Why not just take the gas nozzle, shove it up my butt, and rape me?
That's right.
$2.23.
Then you'd smell like gasoline all the time.
That was for self-serve.
It's amazing.
Full serve. $2.52.
If it's full serve and it's $2.50, I want full serve.
Right. Absolutely. Manual relief.
And smokes, which are $4 to $5 elsewhere.
That's
in New York.
I'm going to Claudine's gas station.
Claudine's gas station. And you get a free tissue. So $1.29 a gallon for gas on the reservation, and cigarettes, which are $4 to $5 elsewhere in New York now, go for $2.29 a pack on the reservation. Why business is good there.
Reservation weather. Over the stinkwood.
With the gribblies.
Irish Catholics across the country are getting a special dispensation for St. Patrick's Day.
Hello there!
Cardinals in archdioceses from coast to coast are telling carnivorous Catholics it's okay to eat meat this Friday. That means Catholics who normally avoid meat on Fridays during Lent can dig into the corned beef and cabbage just this once.
Just don't put any garlic in it.
Please. Recent research says humans' brains continue to grow right up to adulthood. And an even newer study says if you're an adult who wants a bigger brain, become a cab driver.
This is Sam Huff.
His brains never stop growing.
It's constantly evolving. The study says cab drivers' brains actually enlarge as they learn their way around a city. The extra room is needed to store a mental map of their territory.
Cab driver's brains?
Cab driver's brains.
Wow.
It's the same part of the brain that birds and animals use for navigation.
Oh, God.
And British scientists say that part of the brain is bigger in experienced cabbies than it is in the rest of us.
Is that why cab drivers, like, cock their head left and right when they want to find where they're going? It's
just
like a bird.
Cybill Shepherd talks about doing Elvis, Bruce Willis, and Don Johnson in her new autobiography. She also talks about a threesome she once had with a couple of stuntmen.
She was a whore.
The book is called Civil Disobedience, and the first excerpt appears in next week's TV Guide. She said she had fun in Elvis's bed after dining on deep-fried peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
Hey, baby.
She says the bedroom was all red and black with a fake leopard skin on the king-sized bed and smoky mirrors on the walls and the ceiling.
Hey, come over here now. I want you to have sex with me. I want you to call me Morris Jones.
But Cybill says a later encounter in Vegas found her with a chubby, woozy Elvis who offered her pills to get high. He told her he'd already taken his.
MJ sent me.
Hey, baby, I want you to be my friend, Dale Sully.
TV. Local Washington, D.C. TV anchorman.
TV is Dale Sully around here. Yeah, I don't like you. You know what I want? I want you to give me a number of Kathy Whiteside.
About the threesome, Cybill says, have all the pleasure points attended to simultaneously made me feel emancipated and more relaxed about sex.
I was on the All These 100 website and I wrote Kathy Whiteside. That's a woman that I can get into.
I wonder if, film some tonight.
to the good side.
No actual numbers yet.
Only I would have known on the what side before I died. If only I'd seen what was happening to me, Morris Jones, Dale Solly, and Kathy Whiteside.
Kathy Whiteside looked like my mama, Gladys.
Ah, yes. Standing on the ladder.
No actual numbers yet, but sales are reportedly swift on this first day on the market for Stephen King's new book. Riding the Bullet is only available on the internet through the usual booksellers for $2.50.
Not really a book, a short story.
Right, 66 pages to be exact.
But Charlton Heston wrote that.
No. King wrote the book.
Don't tell lies, Mr. President.
I saw that spot today.
Sure.
King wrote the book while recuperating from his near-death meeting with a wayward van last summer. Apparently, the book that, or this short story that people have been trying to download today has been difficult because of the popularity of a lot of people have been getting busy messages from the server.
I'm Stephen King.
He's especially frustrated because it's not working well for Mac users, which is what he is.
Do you like my book?
He doesn't talk like that.
No. His speech is fine.
It was an accident.
Yes, he was.
You still accident. Think everybody that's in an accident yeah. talks like that.
Hey! I wrote Misery.
Hello, Mr. King.
Hey!
Buena suerte.
I'm Stephen King.
The Epilepsy Foundation of America wants California to scrap the law that keeps epileptics from having driver's licenses.
Are you having a seizure right now?
I was having a little problem myself at the moment.
How did I meet Morris Jones?
Right after we introduce you to Dale Solly, Mr. King.
What about Cassie Whiteside?
How's your father, Larry, doing?
And Marty.
Marty Zeiger.
Marty Zeiger.
That's right, your half-brother.
My half-brother.
The California law is aimed at keeping seizure-prone people off the roads, but the foundation says all the law really does is force epileptics to lie about their condition.
Sounds like that word's going to put you into a seizure.
Not a word I say often.
Didn't we have a guy, I think this is one of those few radio shows, mm-hmm. where a man had an epileptic seizure on
the phone
when we were playing Low Budget Jeopardy one
right.
day.
And absolutely. He was in California at the time, fortunately not on a cell phone in his car. California officials say the licenses are not taken away in every case, and that each case is carefully reviewed by the DMV.
I took the circuitous route, but I found it.
There he is.
Nobody would have guessed it, but John Stossel's the new Oprah. Stossel's the agency.
You don't mean Charlie Stossel?
No, John Stossel.
No, that's Charlie Stossel just dresses like the new Oprah.
John Stossel's the ABC news reporter who talks down to the audience on 2020. Oprah's show is produced for ABC by King World, but now that King World's owned by CBS, Oprah belongs to that network. So ABC...
Are you talking like John Stossel
yeah,
right
this
now?
Is kind of how he delivers his story.
You don't like John Stossel, do you?
I think he's fine. I just think he
no,
talks
you don't
down
like
to...
No.
All right.
Let's be honest now.
Not so much.
Okay.
Yeah, because
right.
he talks like that.
Say it, Buzz.
So ABC, I don't like him.
Very good. It's a breakthrough.
Stronger than that?
Can't stand the way he talks.
A little stronger?
Do you want me to hate him?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like you to.
For you, I'll hate him. I hate
John
Stossel.
Love it when you hate. Thank you, Buzz.
Bravo.
Love it when you hate.
Let's all hate together.
Love it when you hate.
So ABC went looking for a new daytime talk show host and decided on Stossel, who was looking for a show himself. His show will be distributed by Buena Vista, which is the same company that distributes Regis and Kathy Lee. Stossel says his show will be news-oriented with, as he puts it, no nuts or sluts.
Really?
No nuts or sluts.
See, that's where his brother Charlie Stossel
mm-hmm.
offers all nuts and all sluts.
You know my motto.
Yes?
Make time for hate crime.
Oh, God.
I love it when you hate, Buzz.
Oh, thank you.
I love it when you hate. There are the touchstones. Let's clear the lines right now and get a caller 100.
All right.
A prize package selected especially for you and a shot at winning $1,000 on Friday's episode. Call Toya. Right now, phone number still the same, 1-877-365-36-36, and good luck.
This is the right. Don and Mike.
You sure have.
Oh, yes, good one.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, Atlanta's John Rocker takes the mound tonight for the first time since spewing hateful remarks in Sports Illustrated. He's scheduled to pitch the ninth inning for the Braves as they host Detroit in an exhibition game in Florida.
That's our official John Rocker sound effect.
Perfect. A longstanding rivalry comes to fruition this summer. The Washington Redskins will play the Baltimore Ravens July 28th at FedEx Field.
And you know what?
What?
Real reasonably priced on those tickets.
Yeah, it's a scrimmage, right?
Yeah, it's a scrimmage. $45 a ticket for a scrimmage.
That's a bargain.
$20 if you're a season ticket holder.
Right.
The NFL's putting its new anti... See, there's a break there. The NFL's putting its new anti...
Thank you, Mr. Snyder.
Yeah, can we get Coco, too?
Of course.
The NFL's putting its new anti-crime policy into action. The league's suspending three players and fining a fourth. Matt O'Dwyer of the Bengals and Jumbo Elliott of the Jets are each suspended for 2 games for their parts in a bar fight last summer. Jason Fabini of the Jets is being fined $14,000 for his part in the fight. Tennessee starting cornerback Denard Walker is suspended for 2 games after pleading guilty to assault on the mother of his son. There are two other players, Baltimore's Ray Lewis and former Panther Ray Carew, still facing murder charges.
National Felon League.
Knicks coach Jeff Van Gundy doesn't like the new rule requiring coaches to wear microphones, but he says he probably will wear one for tonight's game.
Why do you think, you know, you're more of a basketball fan than I am. Why are they going so mental about it?
Because, well, first off, they can't cuss.
Right.
Second, they can't criticize guys.
Right.
I would think that during a normal game, a coach would say, you know, Jesus Christ, look at him. That lazy son of a bitch. He doesn't do what I want him to do.
Well, no, kind of like something that belongs on the World League of American Football,
yeah,
as
right.
opposed to the NBA in the regular season.
It's been suggested that it's a little bit like pro wrestling. One coach says he's heard there's already a blooper reel of things that coaches have said all spliced together, which is the thing that they were worried about all along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the NBA should just chill out. The ratings are down right now, but it's all a big cycle. It's all very cyclical. That they should just wait,
right.
Let Shaquille O'Neal play against Vince Carter. Mm-hmm. People will get into basketball again.
There's a lot of talent in the NBA.
Don't try to crap it up.
Rockets coach Rudy Tomjanovich will probably wear a mic as well tonight. He's never really stated any objection to the idea. Other games tonight include the Wizards.
He looks like Herman Munster.
The Wizards in Orlando.
The coach of the Rockets, Rudy Tomjanovich.
Say, if they mic him, I'd really like to see him bring Earl Weaver back as an NBA coach.
Alice Sweeten from Norfolk, Virginia writes in.
Way to go, Earl.
Sacramento at Portland tonight as well. Former Indiana basketball player says coach Bob Knight choked him during a practice. Guard Neil Reed tells CNN SI.
Do we really need to hear this?
I don't know, do you?
No.
You tell
me. Is this
me.
Another story about Bobby Knight?
Yeah.
I thought, wasn't there supposed to be a fight outside of, I mean, is this another?
This is a new one.
This is an old one. The fight he got in the restaurant, that one was settled.
It sounds exactly, I'm sorry, I thought it was the same story.
No, this is, actually, this whole story will be told tomorrow on CNNSI.
Oh, my
and
God.
And, you know, they're teasing it a little bit with this.
If the Monroe County Prosecutor's Office had investigated Charles Manson, it still would be undecided.
Guard Neil Reed tells CNNSI he was physically and mentally abused by Knight. The CNNSI story, as I mentioned, airs tomorrow. Knight has no comment on
he
it.
He wouldn't listen.
One of the school's trainers says the incident never happened and that he would take a lie detector test about that.
That's one of the guys that's, you know, like second up to Bobby Knight.
Right.
Well,
right.
You'll tell him that's the truth, right? You'll tell him that's the GD truth.
The general, Robert Knight.
And finally, a man has been caught with a video camera inside a girl's locker room in upstate New York.
Sorry. I was selling it.
Investigators say it was a 61-year-old man from Vermont. And they say he had other tapes in his car indicating he'd been to a few schools. He got caught in an elementary school in Queensbury.
Oh, my.
Officials say a lifeguard became suspicious when he saw a man with a wig entering the locker room. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Abba gives me an erection.
Actually, we're done. Done.
And not a moment too soon.
Oh, man, we got to catch the next show.
Goodbye, turkey. My turn it will. Be in touch.
No!
That's it. Got to go back tomorrow with the all-new episode. My thanks to Gay Rosenthal from VH1 Behind the Music.
Yes.
And also TV Land Behind the Honeymooners. That's tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central Time. Got to go. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you mother scratchers. I'm caller 100.
What did you call us?
Mother scratchers.
Mother scratchers?
Mother scratchers, you know, a plug-in word, family style
for
MFers.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All right. Where's the love, Mike?
I don't understand, though.
That's all I want to know.
Where's the love? Somewhere between here and Wichita.
Lots of it. And now. We're going to work on our attitudes about Wichita for tomorrow's show.
I promise I will.
Oh, me too.
Oh, I know.
You're not the only violator here.
I understand.
We are, as always, partners in crime.
Of course, and it's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine.
What's your name, my friend?
It's Jake in Spokane.
Spokane. Nothing against Spokane, Washington.
Not at all.
Caller 100, and you've won the WCW Thunder Prize back. Don't miss WCW Thunder tonight with Goldberg and many other wrestlers. But wait, there's more. You've also qualified for $1,000. We'll give it away on Friday. That money, that grand, is from onmoney.com. And we thank them for the $1,000. Please make sure you're listening to Friday's episode, okay?
I will do it.
Beautiful. And thank you for listening on KFAN, and that is in Spokane, Washington.
Thank you.
Back tomorrow with a new rejuvenated attitude about going to Wichita.
Because we're on our way, Wichita. Get ready!
No more newspaper stuff. No more police stuff. Right. No more fights with the radio station management.
Good. It's a done deal, and there'll be no more whining on our part.
No mollycoddling. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you. Good night, Bud.
Thank you, and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Bud.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Okay, Rob.
Dude!
Throw your Santa Claus hat in the air, dude. Just like, dude, Tyler, more.
Come on, dude.
You might just make
attitude, too.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
It's right in your mouth.
Dude.
Right
on.
Dude.
Dude, man. Right in your mouth, dude. We will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
So we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. So let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don.